Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Big C, beam me down to the planet, as Rooney says, to Sports Death Nation. Oh, you gotta love it. Gotta love it. Sports and Death Nation. Big C, talk to me now. Come on now. Big C.
Doc, I'm having some technical difficulties.
Really? Oh, what's wrong? Well, you can't be too technically wrong. I'm talking to you. Everything all right? Everything under control? Not so be. I got a couple of items today too. Okay, there it is. Opening with the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. All praise and honor to your holy name. Give us not so much what we want, but what we need. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for blessings unseen, undeserved, and acknowledged. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Grace, not getting what you don't deserve, and mercy, not getting what you do deserve. We thank you for everything, for all good and wonderful things come from you. Thank you for our family, our friend. Thank you for health. Thank you for the wealth of health. Thank you for the wealth of friendship, the wealth of being alive. As Reverend Al Sharpton says, any day above ground is a good day. And we ask these blessings, all those blessings, blessing our panel, family here, Brazil, Colombia, and DR. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. You all right, Big C? Is the spaceship studied now? We you know?
Yeah, there was some turbulence, but good.
So I'll be able to be beamed back up on the ship then.
Oh, you're ready here.
Okay. We want to open up by dedicating this show to Bill Gallo, legendary sports columnist and writer, a great friend. We're going to email a copy of the show to his address. So we're dedicating this show to Bill Gallo, and also thanking Big Lou and remembering his mother in a recent passing. Your Mets, are they still winning or what, Big C?
I can check on that for you.
Check the 5-game winning streak. Now they kind of went the other way, but
they dropped two to Philly. They're up one zip here in the seventh.
Well, Philadelphia is not a team to worry about losing to. They're one of the best teams in baseball, and I was dismayed by reading in the Daily News. They had that magazine where they list, you know, for this, like, now until the end of the week, birthdays of celebrities. Didn't have Willie Mays' birthday in there. I'm going to email him. How do you not mention Willie Mays' birthday, May 6th? And I was like, whoa, I'm going to read some birthdays. I may not read none of the birthdays. Now they ain't got Willie in there. But didn't mention Willie Mays' birthday. I got to go to my own little personal calendar here for May. You know, let me do that. And we want to. Tremendous job last night, Big C, as always. And that handling of that UAF. In fact, we're going to talk some more about that. And at the same time, too, I've got a Ray Lewis interview that I want to run that I did the other. Yeah, Ray talked emphatically. He was there. Like, we spoke a little bit last night to his mother, and she brought up such a good point. It was really a lot of fun talking to the McNabbs. Weren't they a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was.
Look at May. Now, oh, man, I got to send an email to a friend of mine. I'm glad.
The panel is lighting up.
Yeah, well, okay, well then, I think it's roll call time. Who we got?
I believe we have Dusty.
Him in. Hey, but let him in reluctantly.
through the back door.
hey, he'll feel at home. Destino Baby Lewis, legendary DJ from the Latin Odyssey, SCR from radio, and my co-host here, and a man who brings so much to the table. And
hello?
Friend and brother. Okay, that Lady A?
the incredible Lady A right here.
Rooney, we don't need any superlatives. Just sign in, Rooney.
Mel Smith Jr. here, sir. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you know, wow. I love Rooney. You know, Rooney has penned so many. The great one is a point well taken. And then, you know, Rooney, what I love about this panel, because, you know, why Destino is dissecting these people, you know what I mean, taking them back to their elementary school level and what their blood type is, Rooney is right there, you know what I mean, welcoming them into, I love Rooney's line, sports and deaf nation, you know what I mean, and we've got the crew here tonight. What we're going to do, like I said, gentlemen, before you let Larry bring us in, we're dedicating this show to Bill Gallo. Bill's been a little under the weather lately. We're going to send him an email copy of the show. Legendary sports columnist and cartoonist, one of the great cartoonists. I know Bill befriended me. I didn't know how much he thought of me, and we were talking one day at a press conference. He told his wife, "Hey, look at Mel." He said, "Mel's a cop, Mel's a writer, and Mel's a comic." And his wife said, "Wow, he's sure enough proud of you, ain't he?" And I really remiss, you know, in the past, I've never invited Bill to any shows, but at the same time, I've long been looking. He does the old Geezer's thing at the at the Gallagher's. Yeah, because I put his show together. I thought I was going to see him, because Bill stopped doing some of the boxing press conferences.
Yeah, very seldom does.
Yeah, you don't see him anymore.
Yeah,
and
he was at Hopkins, Roy Jones. That was the last one I saw.
Destino.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Listen. You guys are speaking about boxing, but I don't know if you guys heard about what happened with Cotto's family out in Puerto Rico. Did you hear about what happened?
Cotto. Okay, what we're going to do? Let's hold off on that for just a minute, and we're going to, because we got Lady A in the house, and Rooney doesn't care if anybody else calls in now. We got this Dusty in the house who really doesn't care if anybody calls in anyway now. You know what I mean? And we got to catch it with Howard Weston. But what we're going to do, without further ado, dedicating this show to Larry Hardesty also, and who will celebrate a one-year anniversary of getting married, and to the legendary Bill Gallo. Two legends here, Larry Hardesty and Bill Gallo. But let's Larry Legend bring us on, Larry. Introduce us to the show. Sports and Depth Nation, as Winnie would say, is coming to you right now. Larry Hardesty, please.
And I'm back.
And where's Larry Hardesty?
Oh, sorry. Technical difficulties, but I found him.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley.
Sorry about that, Doc.
Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls. Here on Sports in Depth is the show. Don't worry about the big C. As we told you, we're dedicating this show to Bill Gallo, legendary sports cartoonist and columnist, and a friend of mine. I didn't really, like I said, I didn't realize how much Bill thought of me. We did a great interview. Bill said that the last great heavyweight champion we had, the guy that could have taken the mantle handed down from Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, Marciano, Ali, Patterson, was Tyson. Tyson, you know, was the last guy. He had it all, the chemistry, the awareness. Like I always said, we're the heavyweight champion of the world. No matter where he was, you know, in the days of Ali and Patterson and Marciano and Joe Louis, you knew. If he was in Germany at the Olympics, if he was in Okeechobee doing an ice cream commercial, you always knew where he was. And Tyson was the last great heavyweight champion, I think, that we've had with the persona and people just genuinely liked. And I think it was the last great heavyweight per se, period. From all around perspective, and we're dedicating the show to Bill and to Larry. We got to get a hold of Hoops to talk some basketball here. I was just dismayed that I saw this thing about birthdays and Willie Mays wasn't there. But hey, without further ado, with ladies being first, and Lady A is definitely that. We got to catch you, Howard West. Lady A, now what's happening with Juanma's family?
Well, no, it's not Juanma. Actually, it's Miguel Cotto. I just happened to be going through, you know, the ESPN. Website, and I don't know if Destino was up on it like a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear that in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and
no.
In Palmas del Mar community that Miguel Cotto's house is broken into?
Palmas del Mar. No, wow.
Yeah, his boss was broken into. Apparently,
in
they got three guys that burglarized his house. They caught three guys. They caught the three guys actually. None of the property was missing. But I said that they said that one of the security guys from the property actually was doing rounds and saw them breaking into it. They called into the property. They called cops. And but it's just sad that people you could be on vacation, you could be away, whatever the story is, doing what you got to do.
That's a situation you
well,
kind
of the millions he's making. I mean, you got to expect the personality.
But not only that, you got to figure that the area that he lives in is one of influence. The only time crooks take a holiday, one thing about then Lady A, and what's funny today, Lady A, she can relate to this. I got my jacket on. Put my wallet. In fact, I gotta change it because I always try to keep my badge on one special wallet. But I've got this double wallet, and I said, where the heck is, my revolver? I got the paper, and look, I forgot that today I was wearing the shoulder holster. That's how I got it.
Oh yeah.
I forgot I got the shoulder holster. But some things happened today. We gotta get a hold of Hoopster too. Hoopster's gotta join us.
Doc, just to interrupt before to that end.
Go ahead.
That happened to a former Knicks, 7 foot, 300 and some odd pound Eddie Curry was victim of a home invasion.
Really?
It happens. I guess the attempts, and so often in the overall perspective of things, it's usually somebody that knows you.
Yeah. And they follow your routine, and they know that's
But you mentioned, Lady, you mentioned Palmas del Mar. Isn't that in Humacao?
Yes.
Are you from
Humacao? That's where my family's from, yes.
Humacao.
I see where this leads. This is going to be a Latin thing. This is where my family is from. Okay, let's move on from this, okay? Let's move from this.
Knock it off.
My family's from.
He's getting jealous, Justino. He's getting jealous.
Next thing will be the Latin segment. I'll hear Tito Puente in the background. Tito was such a... I tell the story, and what a great guy! I love the man. We always had a great time together. In fact, I got two sets of his conga sticks, and he told the story. I think it's how the timbali came to be in the front of the band, and that was because for years it was in the back of the band. But him being the band leader, the band always had to turn around to get the signal from him. So they said, "Hey, you know what, man? No. You know what? Come up front and you turn around and give us the signal instead of all of us turning around to get the signal from him. Oye, como va?" He wrote Santana. It was the huge hit that put him in a very nice financial platform.
He always had a good voice, Tito, but not a solista voice, a good coro voice. That's why when he had to come up front to sing and match with Santo Colón or Vicentico, whoever he had hired, and he had a good blending voice.
Uh-huh.
He could hear his vocals very well.
You guys are going to make me want to go break open a bottle of Coquito right now. Stop.
Well, listen, feel free. This is America. Feel free. I can't what's up on the Blake Rainbow Sports Network show. Trying to get a hold of Hoops of CW Wings. We'll be joining. We're talking football. We're talking basketball. We're talking everything right here, right now.
Mets
I think
still winning 1-0.
The Mets are still well, it's early.
This is seventh inning. And
it's early. With the Mets, it's early. I'm just saying it's still early. You think about the old
Why?
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 Blank, they're beating Cliff Lee, of all people.
That's right. I read that thing with Lee. Turned down $150 million from the Yankees and took $120 from Philadelphia. I was reading, in fact, I get a copy of the magazine. I got you all last night, the UAF T-shirts and wristbands that I got have for everybody, the crew. And they had with a magazine there that we'll read about later. And they talked about Cliff Lee, how he spurned the Yankees with the $150 million to go to Philadelphia.
It was a hardship.
He took $30 million less, huh?
Yeah,
wow.
Because his son is, I don't know what it is, autistic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the best medical people, not New York, are in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but how far is Philadelphia away from New York?
I mean, 10 minutes, but I mean...
and listen, for $30 million more, I think transportation-wise, you could have worked it out. I don't. Just to get me to certain
30 million buys a lot of limos.
Yeah, you know, you hear this. You hear this so often where these guys, well, you know, I don't know, I want to spend more time with my family. You know, cut the bullshit. Excuse me. You know, you're making millions of dollars. Baseball players, cut the crap. The kids in school, April, May, they don't get out till June. So,
yeah.
You know, by the time they're out of school, you're three months into the season. Okay, they got to go back to school in September. I mean, not to mention that the family lives, when you're making that kind of, they live with you anyway. So, I mean, don't you go home every night when you're not on the road? I want to spend more time with my family. My kids are growing up. You leave the game at 35, 40 years old. Come on, man.
You're right, kill me with that nonsense, Rooney.
Spend time with the family. Give it up. And now what? You got a $10 million contract. So you don't think moms and the kids would like you more with the $10 million and coming home?
Of course, but you know, you look at CC Sabathia. He's a West Coast man.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to go to the West Coast until Mrs. Sabathia says, "Hey, we're staying in New York," and it would have been less money outside of New York. They took what is it, the 160 or 170, whatever you want to call it.
Now, there are some guys who, like in Terry Pendleton's case, didn't want to come to New York because of the media and all that kind. Okay,
media.
I find it. And Terry took $500,000 less to go to Atlanta than he did for the Yankees. I mean, over the course of whatever 3-4 year contract. But I mean, you hear these guys, I don't know, I'm going to retire. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Are you a rocket scientist? I mean, you're gonna. They kill me.
Hello.
Were you rocket scientist?
Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna work in the White House? I'm gonna spend more time with my family.
But the fact is that a lot of these guys are afraid of the booing.
They're stupid.
Yeah.
Listen, boo me for $15 million. Talk about my mama if you want. Give me the $15 million a year.
The fact of the matter is, the guys with the big heart, who has the big set on them, they want the pressure. They say, bring the heat, bring the pressure.
Yeah.
Case in point, Reginald Martinez Jackson.
They
want to play on the big stage, bring the heat,
right.
You know, put me on a big stage and watch me perform in front of the big spotlight.
Absolutely.
A lot of these guys were afraid. Maddox didn't want to come to New York. A lot of guys didn't want to come. For what? And they lose, 20, 30 million left because they want to go to a little country town? Get out. Boo me all the way around the bases as I'm hitting.
Boo me to the bank. And you know what? It don't matter because
I'm
getting direct deposit. Yeah?
Exactly. Boo me all the way. I don't care where you boo me. I'm still making the money that you ain't making, factory workers, so shut up, man. If you're an Ali,
you don't want to fight in the ring in Madison Square Garden.
That's amazing because, you know, it was amazing that you look at some of the greatest fighters that ever played, that ever fought. Tommy Hearns never fought in Madison Square Garden. Ray Leonard fought one time in Madison Square Garden. I mean, only one time in Madison. I think Larry Holmes only fought one time in Madison Square Garden. Come to think of it, the night he fought Weaver on the Duran card.
Let me tell you what happened. Now, let me show how crazy people are. Some years ago, I was at Madison Square Garden for the finals of the Golden Gloves. And one of the honoraries, you know, Larry Holmes happened to be there in the audience, so they introduced him. But at the time, the guy was just a few years of removed from being a heavyweight champion of the world.
Second longest reign in history of boxing.
Right. So, Doc, I have to tell you, Larry's not a huge guy, but neither is he small. I mean, what are we talking? 6'3" at the time, or really good in shape. What, about 230, 235? Obviously, the guy's a former champion, so you know he's going to ramble. I say this to say this, Trenton. Do you know that after taking his balls on the way back to the seat, some jerk had the nerve to take a swipe at him? Some jerk trying to pick a fight with Larry Holmes.
All you can say is the power of the power of beer.
It must have been some midget with a lot of coronas inside of him, man.
You know what? I tell you what I never forget. The Old Felt Forum, it's a Friday night, Wednesday night fight, and I happen to go leave Fresh Road to go talk to somebody in the stands. Well, you know how people sit in the stands. Come on, man, throw the hook, throw the right hand. Come on. God, this guy, I'll never forget, he got up out of his seat, walked down to ring, and it just worked so perfect for him. Every guard he passed by was looking the other way. He walked right down to ringside, walked up the stool, walked up into the guy's corner,
are
and
you
talked to
me?
The guy, and then left and went back to his seat. Because I saw the guy getting up. I saw he walked right down. Security was not as tight as walked up the little stairs, started talking to the guy, and went back to his seat. It was amazing. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blake, we're going to bring up the show. And I got to get Big C. Did we get a call, Harold, yet? I'll check out Harold Weston.
Harold, yeah.
Yeah, we get Harold here tonight because we're going to talk. I'm trying to maybe get Lonnie Bradley to join us again. But right now.
Nah, this not yet.
No? How
somebody that comes in and out, but they might be having reception problems like me.
Okay. I'll try to get Harold. I'm trying to get Hoopster to join us too. We'll talk some basketball. Big game here, but that was crazy. But okay, what
Memphis
we gonna do?
Grizzlies. Oh boy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's. I'm trying to talk basketball without the Hoopster. We want to talk with him. Okay, everybody, your opinion. Next week's fight. Pacquiao. And Sugar Shane Moses. Lady A, your pick.
Why I got to be the first one?
Ladies first. Okay, Rudy, you're the pressure. You
man.
First, Rudy.
I'll be happy to take it, but I really did want to hear our Lady A.
Okay. You want me to go?
Go ahead, Lady A. Start it off.
All right, I'm going to start it off. I'll tell you right now. I think it's going to go to no further than the seventh round.
Mm.
Yes, I think it's going to go to the seventh round. And if that far, and I'm going to say Pacquiao, but my heart lies with Shane.
Okay, Doctor, you have me for the second spot. I'll go with this. I also, in concurrence with Lady A, I'm going to go with Pacquiao. But, Doc, you know something? All right, I mean, this panel, I'm having a strange feeling about this. Now, this is how it's going to go, either one of two ways. I obviously am picking Pacquiao to win the Duke. However, as we have all said before, if there's one great fight left in him, this has a candidate to be fight of the year. Mm-hmm. Either Shane is going to pull off an amazing... What is he, 7-1, 10-1 right now?
10-1 now, yeah.
10-1.
An amazing upset in which he just shines and stops the roller coaster that is Pacquiao.
10-1, I would just drop $100 for you know, if you had a grand to kill, you're talking about $100,000.
Exactly.
Or for the first time in his illustrious career, he gets KO'd.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Well,
wow.
That's hard.
So okay, we've got Pacquiao, we've got Sugar Shane. You going with Shane?
No, I'm going with Pacquiao, but this is going to be a straight
Rooney
fight.
Rooney soups him up, one last fight, and goes with the guy anyway.
But Rooney, hold up. If you see it, let me ask you this question, because this is an important question now. If you see it going, do you see it going to decision? And if not, then what round do you think they'll stop it at?
Okay.
No, lady, you know what I see? I'm starting to have a funny feeling about this fight, and it's going to be two drastic versions. The first version is he summons it up from what he used to be in the past, that one great fight, it's fight of the year, and he wins it going away, maybe late round KO, or for the first time, Pacquiao just runs through him and knocks it out, and Father Time says it's time to retire.
See, but you know what it is too, when Doc and I spoke to Mosley, he really didn't sound like he was really gonna.
Would you see?
You
got.
Oh, you having problems getting through then? Are you on with us now?
Huh? Oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Are you on?
Sound like what?
No, I didn't sound like when Doc and I spoke to him at the press conference.
Come on, no.
Mosley was really into, you know, seeing himself going past, you know, 7 or 8. You know what I mean?
Olivia, you are so perceptive. I'm thinking that if he's taking a beating, that he's just going to throw it in, that he's not going to take a beating for 12 rounds. Beat out of him, say, third or fourth round, like Lady A says, and he's taking a drastic beating, you know, 12 rounds is a long time to get your butt kicked.
Yeah,
so,
I don't see it going past 6 or 7 the case.
No,
yeah.
I don't see it going past 8. I think he'll knock out Pacquiao, knock him out in between 7 and 8.
What you got on the
I say he's going to get knocked down the first time. He's going to knock him out to TKO, first time being knocked down somewhere in the third or fourth round.
But I will say this, however. If Shane is holding his own, say round four, five, or six, look out.
Rooney. Is Shane going to win the fight or not? One minute you got Shane kicking booty, the next minute he's getting the booty kicked.
Not Shane kicking anything. I am telling you that I'm picking Pacquiao, but I'm having a strange feeling about the outcome of this fight.
So other words, so what you gonna do instead of betting the whole 100 on Pacquiao, you're doing 50-50. You split the money.
50-50 like a lot. Well, let me tell you something.
Are you doing heads I win, tails you lose?
And know what? It's a two-headed cone, Pacquiao.
Dusty, you guys are unmerciful. You know that, don't you?
Dusty, you know that by the fourth round with Cotto, and you know, and I both know how highly you think of Cotto. Cotto was in a mess by the fourth round.
Yeah, but you see, you got to understand, even though Cotto is no Shane, even though Cotto beat Shane. And what I'm going on record right now.
Go ahead.
I'm picking Shane Mosley in 12, man.
Hold on. Everybody quiet down. Is this the real Dusty?
That's the real Dusty.
No, it's a recording like yesterday. It's a recording.
The recording's stuck.
I'm picking Shane because my gut tells me.
Your gut.
My gut tells me that this is his one last good fight.
Your gut? Yeah. What's up? You didn't eat all those pasteles? You talking gut?
At this portion of the show, let's refrain from some Latin stuff and stay English.
Okay. He may even cut Pacquiao and may even stop him on a cut. But I believe Shane Mosley, and you said something in the press conference, you didn't sound, Shane Mosley didn't sound too confident. He was low-key. That's the way Shane Mosley is in every fight. And when he was training for Cotto, he was just, yeah, but I know I'm a good body puncher and I got a good hook, you know. I expect a good, everything low-key, and boom. So, and that's basically the way he is. And I feel
we haven't found this, putting you on. Keep calling.
Yeah, 914-338-0. This is a fight, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I pick up the paper the next day.
Okay.
Shane Mosley is out in one round. Okay, but I feel that Shane is going to give it his best shot.
He always comes ready to fight, Dusty.
Everybody hold off. Go into the control. Big C, be on the lookout. You're having a call coming in and out, and that's our man, Baby Milo. He's trying to get in with us.
Be on the lookout.
Right. You got it. Okay.
You got to say, he has the style, like I've said all along, that a boxer, Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto for three rounds, Joshua Clary for the whole 12, unless he rope-a-dope, Juan Manuel Marquez, Shane Mosley has the style to upset and burst Pacquiao's bubble.
If he can find that boxer-puncher thing one more time and pull it off.
Rooney, enough with you. Right now,
you said enough with you.
Right now, Rooney, we've got you. Pacquiao 3, Mosley 2. You know, I mean, you swinging back and forth.
Let me say this about defense, Doc. Let me say this about defense. Because I'm picking Pacquiao to win the fight overall, doesn't mean he's going to lay the smack down on the whole fight. I mean, doesn't mean it's going to have to be a walkover, Doc. You know, he might be in a rumble.
Rooney's classic line is, for every major fight, you know, this is a candidate for fight of the year.
This is a candidate for fight of the year.
We know that.
Let me say this, Doc. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think both of them have won that honor in their lifetime. Fight of the year.
Because Mosley's going to upset him. That's why it's fight of the year.
Listen, we got 3 weeks here. Let's go into my jet. Jerry, they drafted a wide receiver here. Jerry Curley. Okay, we got a little thing from him here. How it felt being drafted by the Jets. It feels great. It's a great weight lift off my shoulders. I'm ready to get going and then do whatever I can to help the team win. And what he thinks the team brought him into play right away. I don't know. I'm looking forward to just being able to come in and take a look at the guys like San Antonio Holmes and Jerry Cockery. I'm ready to be a student of the game and ready to just take whatever criticism they have to give me on how he would describe himself as a player.
Hello?
As Milo? We got Milo here?
Hello?
Yeah, who's speaking?
Yeah.
Milo?
Yes, yeah, Milo, yeah.
Okay, Milo, okay. Just hang in. We got
Milo.
You. Don't move. Dusty. Okay, I'll let Rooney handle the greetings, okay? On how he describes over the player.
Milo, welcome, man. It's been a long time since I heard the dulcet tones of your voice.
Rooney, yeah, Rooney.
How you doing?
And from now on, we're calling you Sugar Shane Rooney. Sugar Shane Connor. Sugar Shane Connor. I'm definitely a special
one
of these guys. I know that my specialty and ability is definitely what makes me the player that I am. Sea Wings, you know anything about him, Jeremy Curley?
Jeremy Curley, they're looking to put him as one of the future wide receivers. If this season ever gets off to play the way things are going, first the lockout is lifted by the Judge Susan. Then it's overturned by an appeal to the 8th District Circuit Court by the owners. But it could be lifted, relifted as early as Monday by 3.
It's lifted, relifted. What seems to be the problem here? I mean, she lifted it, and then an injunction turned it over? What's the story with that?
Well, what happened when she ruled the, which was expected that she was going to side with the players, but on the other hand, it was also common knowledge that the players were going to, the owners were going to immediately appeal it to the 8th District Circuit Court of Appeals, which put the lockout back into existence. So now there's a three-judge panel with the Court of Appeals considering extending a temporary stay of the injunction won by the players last week in the district court. But now why they're doing this, the lockout has been reestablished and it's in full effect. Some players actually, like in Washington, they received playbooks. Some teams actually kept the players out. So it's kind of, it's just a mess right now.
6-1 half.
A mess right now
in this
draft. I mean, the players that were drafted really are Mr. Irrelevant right now, basically, with this lockout.
Mm.
And with this lockout, that is going to extend the free agency market until at least June.
Is that a positive or a negative, Sea Wings?
It's a negative. It's definitely a negative. I mean, the teams are looking to prioritize going after the rookie free agents, and or retaining unrestricted veteran free agents. So it really puts everything into a tailspin.
Wow.
Even though teams like the Jets, we got good draft picks. They did pretty well drafting Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah,
we wanted him and we got him. Round one, overall 30 pick. He's 6'4", 315 pounds from Temple. He's definitely going to be a good fit for Chris Jenkins. One other guy, Kendrick Ellis, the defensive tackle as well. We got him in the second round, 94 overall pick. But he does come with some controversy. Right now he's under.
He has baggage.
He's on trial for felony assault. Which, I don't think he's going to go to jail. I mean, he was attacked by a guy with a baseball bat. He defended himself and broke the guy's jaw. So right now, he's up in limbo.
President Obama's going to make a very important statement in a few minutes. President Obama's getting ready to make a very important statement in a few minutes.
Is he going to reveal whether that's a hairpiece on Trump's head or what?
No, this is serious. This is a serious no. He's getting ready to
cut
in on all networks. They're cutting in on all networks.
We're going to go 10-10 wins. Speaking of Muhammad, Mike Tannenbaum, recap of the draft. We took Muhammad Wilkerson. Then we took this guy with great skills from Florida State. It wasn't funny last night. I figured I'd try again and get a few more giggles today. Kendrick Ellis, which you just talked about. And then Coach Ryan talked about the situation of the possibility of five running backs this year. I think the point is last year we had Tony Richardson, we had the Terminator, John Connor. I guarantee you that there were a lot of teams with no fullbacks, and we had two. And then he's talking about the five running backs. That was just two backs. When you look at last year, we had five running backs. We actually had six until Danny Woodson deal. I kind of wish we would have kept him. He's laughing. We never really know what's going to happen, what our roster is going to look like in the fall or anything else. To us, when Mike and I talk about putting this team together, give us the best players. Who are the best players? Those are the ones you keep. Obviously, there are things that happen during the season, whether we need a wideout, we need a tackle, whatever it is, you're going to move your roster. To start with, you just try to keep the best football players, and that's usually a good way to make your roster. Harold has joined us. He said that the president will be going online soon. Keep us abreast of the Harold, and I'll go right to 10-10 wins, and we'll find out what's happening with that. Okay? Hello, everybody still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what's key with the Jets schedule, we actually play the Giants in a regular season game, Christmas
regular
Eve.
Season, yeah.
And Rex Ryan stirred up some controversy saying that the Jets were a better team. The Giants, they were the big brother team of New York.
Well, Rex said that
last
He's always been saying that. He's been boosting the team.
He said that they're the new sheriffs in town.
Yeah,
that they're the team.
Exactly.
They're the team to beat in this town. Because let's face it, the Jets have basically played a little brother to the Giants over the years.
Right.
So I guess they're trying to say that now, you know, we're not going to take any back seats.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, this is a Jet town. You know, you got to like playing for Rex, you know. If you're a ball player, you know, you got to like playing for a guy like that, whether he's blowing out air or not. You know, players like playing for a guy like that.
Yeah, they like playing for a guy who puts it on the line, is not afraid to speak his mind.
Takes for the players.
And he doesn't insult anybody. He just says it like he feels like saying it, and that's it. If you don't like it, well, then prove me wrong, man. You know, and let's face it, the Giants, where were the Giants last season? Nowhere. Where were the Jets? I mean, to the semifinals of the season.
The Jets
did better last year. They were one game away from the Super Bowl.
Well, Doc,
again.
You have to figure.
Again,
Doc, you have to really can. You have to really. You have to really, really congratulate a guy that comes in his first 2 years as head coach, takes your team to the to the championship game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's coming out with a new book. I mean, when you have players from the Giants like Justin Tuck is normally, a quiet guy, very well-reserved.
Right.
But he actually, he responded to Rex Ryan by pointing to his Super Bowl ring. But I think it keeps everything fresh and alive. I mean, it's just like the Yankees and the Mets. I mean, you would think we're from two different cities.
And C. Wings, who is just like Dusty, is the right hand man for Lee Samuels in Top Rank. C. Wings is the right hand man for Rex Ryan. I mean, he just really acknowledged C. Wings when he first time, and you know, he closed his press conference with C. Wings' last question. Harold, you
yes,
we're talking real quickly, before, and let us know when the president's on. We'll go to that.
I can see it on the TV. It's coming on at 10:35.
Harold, you sound so much like Dusty.
Why is that?
Maybe that was Dusty.
I missed Harold on the show yesterday.
Well, Harold was a little tired of it. Harold,
you said Harold was
week.
Suspended.
Next, well, he's not suspended now. Harold,
okay.
Harold.
Yeah.
Pacquiao, Mosley, who wins and why?
Oh, that's an easy question. I mean, Pacquiao, because he's going to throw more punches than Mosley. And the other factor, Mosley's more concerned about his girlfriend getting TV exposure than he is worrying about winning the darn fight.
Boy,
so that's what tells you right there.
Boy, Harold, leave no stone unturned.
I mean, you know, and the fact that he praises Pacquiao at this particular no fight, if you're going to win a fight, especially a big important, you're going to praise the other man and all that. Can you imagine Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali praising each other before the fight? Jesus Christ almighty.
I
never heard such things in my life. I mean, it's a shame that these guys do that, but I guess he's so happy that Pacquiao picked him and he's giving him $5 million that he just, you know, he just praised the man. I guess, you know, he saved his life or something. And he gave his girlfriend some exposure and everything else.
TV, I think it was,
I mean, my father would have shot me if I'd have said to him, I got to go see my girlfriend get these shots, Dad. You know, I got to take off today, so I can't work out today and everything. Yeah. I would not made it to the boxing ring. Believe me, I would never made it to the boxing ring. Because that was a no.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but this is crazy. I mean, I never seen. So, you know, with Mosley, he looks like an old guy that wants to get this last little payday in, and he doesn't have the desire to really be in a world champion anymore. You don't have that desire to do it, then you definitely don't want to win, and you're not going to try to win. Because when that fatigue falls in, the first thing you're going to do is say, well, I'm just going to survive. I ain't going to get knocked out. And that's what he's going to do.
But Howard, why would he take such chump change as only $5 million as opposed to he got $7.5 million for Floyd Mayweather when he's fighting a capital fight? I mean, the number one target of the boxing world. I mean,
You got to understand, he's not in the bargaining position.
Oh, guys, let me interfere. Let me jump in and say Osama bin Laden is dead. That's what the president's going to talk about. They're saying
wow. Who got him?
He hasn't talked, but they're saying that's what he's going to talk about.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But they did say he was sick or something, so I don't know if he died.
He was telling me he died of old age or illness. Oh, God.
Yeah, well.
You know,
ten
wins doesn't know what the president's going to say, and my panel, the best damn panel in the world, knows. Boy, there's nobody like your gang. 10-10 wins don't know. The lady just said the president's going to speak. We don't know why. C-Wing said 10 minutes ago. You know what? Ali said, you are the lady just said, we don't know what the president's going to talk about. And C-Wing just told us that you know what? We should tell them, cut the Blake radio instead of cutting the 10-10 wins.
Tune into Blake radio.
All I gotta say, the NFL lockout is still on. I don't know which one.
Now we got Milo here too, who's finally got it. Milo, great to have you. Your thoughts? We got next week, the big fight. I said, no, if the president comes in, I'll cut it on. Who do you like? Sugar Shane Mosley, Manny Pacquiao, Milo.
Manny Pacquiao's defense is suspect, but I got Manny Pacquiao winning because Sugar Shane ain't got it no more, you know. But like I said, but I don't think Pacquiao's going to be able to stop Mosley, though, but I got Pacquiao winning the fight.
The dulcet tones of Milo.
I think what's going to happen, he gets stopped is because of the fact that Mosley will not be trying anymore in the late rounds, and that fatigue's awful. You got to understand, Mosley hasn't fought, 18 months or something like that? Almost.
The last time he fought Floyd, and that was almost 18 months. But
at the Staples Center.
No,
he fought Mauler at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
How long has that been?
The Latin Snake, yeah.
The end of last year.
So it's about 8 months he hasn't fought, but I mean he's.
And that was a poor performance too.
Yeah, because this guy was an octopus, and that same octopus he got beat a few months ago by some journeyman fighter. The journeyman fighter almost knocked him out. The Latin snake, man.
But the thing, I'm just saying that, you know, Manny Pacquiao came off a good, tough fight, a good 12-round fight with his last fight. You know what I mean? Mm. He beat the guy up. But that was a good blowout fight for him. Now he's coming right back, you know, and fighting Shane Mosley. He's been kind of active for a good champion under the status that he's under. And the fact why I'm saying that is because of the fact that Moldy hasn't did anything all this time. And as I said, Pacquiao was like razor sharp. And, you know, and they said one thing on this 360 is that
right.
One thing about Pacquiao, he knows he's got a lot on his shoulder. He said, I got to feed my family. I got to feed my
girls, kids.
And I got my people that's around me. And he said, I got to feed a country. I mean, when a man's got that much on him, he ain't going to lose not to no flame Shane Mosley.
Right.
And Mosley left worried about his girlfriend. So you figure out who's going to win the fight.
Guys, the president is speaking. President is speaking.
Something about Bin Laden. I see it on the bottom line here.
Yeah, Bin Laden got killed.
Is he installed? I was sure.
10-10 wins, still doesn't know. Here we go. 10-10 wins is coming on. Hold on, gang.
Yeah. Channel 4, I got Channel 4 here.
Hold on, gang. Here we go.
This is ABC News in Washington. We're on standby to take air with live anchored coverage of the death of Osama bin Laden. We take air 50 seconds from my mark. Stephen Portnoy anchors live ABC News coverage of the death of Osama bin Laden on this XDS channel. Ann Compton, Aaron Katursky, Brad Garrett join us 40 seconds from Mark.
All right, so this is what's going on. Apparently, President Obama is going to address the nation at 10:50 tonight, but ABC News is reporting that Osama...
So can bin Laden been dead for the last 4 months or something like that? Could he been?
Well, we'll find out at 10:50.
Well, it had been rumored for quite some time that he had major kidney disease for quite some time.
Yeah, but you know, I want to know, is it Bin Laden or is it Bin Laden Jr.? We'll find ourselves next week. A whole different story, right?
I heard he was hanging out with Tupac and Biggie, but...
Hey, listen, you know what? I tell you what, then he's gone. He's gone, then.
Well, there's no way he could be roaming those mountains with that kind of, you know, that kind of kidney trouble endlessly.
Right.
Without medical attention.
Yeah, that's true, too. Without medical, he was a sickly man. So,
you know.
Funny how...
Yeah, I mean, he had very advanced kidney problems.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Could have used that $20 million, though. That would have been nice.
Yeah, somebody has succeeded and finally...
You know, you got to understand, that kidney stuff, no matter what kind of money you have, if they can't match you, if I remember, I think the late, great Barry White suffered from that.
Wow.
Well, even if you get a kidney transplant, you have to have somebody that has the right tissue sent.
Yeah,
you know,
really
the tissues
have to
be here. Yeah, because if not, then no matter what happens, even if you get that, you know, a donor, you know, if it's not the right tissue match, then you're going to have a problem, so...
It's like you have to put another AA battery in there. You can't put a B battery. You have to put the right match.
But you know what? What's interesting about this is like the common person who doesn't follow terrorism is going to think that this is it and everybody's free and clear. And you have so many of these terrorist groups, and you know I'm sure that he has a lot of predecessors that are probably ready to take his place. Like it's like having a drug dealer on the corner that's probably step in tomorrow and take his place. So,
that's
what's so
right,
crazy about this. Like the common person be, oh, that's it, we're good now. No, you're not.
You're not, because they got a whole bunch of followers.
You know,
they're saying that somebody finally tracked them down and killed them. So whoever killed them probably is the dude that's going to take his place, man.
I didn't think
somebody, he just died from his illness. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I think he had set everything up for somebody to take over.
It's probably more dangerous because you got, like Lady A said, you got, you know, these tons and tons of guys that want to be at the top and the leader.
Yeah.
It's probably even more dangerous now.
Yeah, but that's not even the, you know, the funny thing is that's not even the only terrorist group, obviously. I mean, this is the one that's most known, but you have so many now, like the Abu Sayyaf and all these other terrorist groups that are, like, looking to take over, you know, so.
Yeah, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And the Phillies packing in.
But
How do they know that's him? I mean, you couldn't find
exactly.
him.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know if he went to the hospital. He's not going to go to the hospital.
Mm. Or he's just
well,
been reported
they definitely going to get it. They got their spies and stuff like
yeah.
that. They definitely got it. They wouldn't even put this message out unless they knew guaranteed
sure.
that he was there. They wouldn't even did this.
Right.
What kills me is how supposedly he roamed free for so long. I mean, supposedly they got Scotland Yard after this guy. They got military intelligence, CIA, FBI, all the alphabets in the world after this guy.
Mm.
6'5" in a land where 5'8" is considered tall.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's probably a takeover for one of the guys that want to be leaders and just say, you know, let's confirm that he's dead and then. Now you got to search about who's going to lead this group.
Well, supposedly, from as rumor has it, supposedly an airstrike. He was killed in an airstrike. The president should be on about now, I think. But that's supposed to be the rumor.
Well, he has to come
we'll
on.
Be, we'll be. What'd you say, Dusty?
You know, he has not come on yet. They got all the preliminary reporters talking about it. But Osama bin Laden, dead. He has been killed by. He finally found him and killed him. And the president is going to come back and give us a full boat about that. But they found his body and he was killed. So
by Americans.
But yeah, they're saying by Americans. So I don't know how true that is.
And the voice you have in the background is also from what? the Steno Lois Nerve Center, who is the nerve center, the lovely Mrs. Adelaide Lois,
She's a special news correspondent.
Yeah. And once again, another one from the Latin perspective, right? Adios mio.
Yeah, right. And the fact that, you know, the same thing that when they found Hussein, who was living.
Where the heck is Hoops at? We need Hoops around here. Talk a little basketball. Some really good basketball games today.
Right.
Memphis won, man. Oh.
Poor Boston Celtics. Poor guys.
Well, you know,
there was some
horrible calls. I mean, you know, I'm going to talk about that because Doc Rivers in the post game press conference talked. He said, first of all, you know. You can't turn the ball over 25 times. They're going to score.
Exactly.
He said, you know,
when
you played Miami and it just had Wade, they scored. When you played Cleveland and it just had LeBron, they scored. So with them together, they're definitely going to score. But
yeah.
he said that both fouls that were called on Pierce were flagrant fouls on Miami. They should have been called on Miami, not him. Not Pierce, you know, and he also said that they didn't do the things to overcome the free throws and all. But he, two things he said, those fouls that were called against Pierce should have definitely went the other way. And he said, you can't turn the ball over 25 times because against these guys, it's going to be a basket. And said, if they did it individually, well, together, you know, that's going to be the case there. So we're still waiting here for the president. You know what we can do, too? We're going to Dusty, we need some of that volume taken down in the back there from the Aladdin thing.
Yeah.
We're going to go in and talk to, USAF dinner last night. The young man who, I forget his name here, who he was there. It was really touching. He came over and talked to me, and we hugged and talked, and he's looking for Ray. Ray Lewis talked about the importance of the UAF, and we're going to talk to the guy considered the greatest linebacker of his era, one of the greatest linebackers of all time, number 52, Ray Lewis. Sit back, listen in to a future Hall of Famer. A legendary football player.
Hi.
Ray.
What are you doing?
Stop rolling. Ray, go ahead. What you do? It all begins with the vision, the word of God. It all begins with the vision, the word of God. You spoke, you know, the vision, letting the master run the course.
It's what we won't do. Take a hard look at ourselves individually every morning, every night. You know, when you look in the mirror, you have to ask yourself one question. Are you chasing success or are you chasing impact? Before Jesus left this earth, he left impact. That's why we call on his name. A lot of people are chasing so much success, and success is caught up in systems. So when the system tells you, you feel like you're not successful. But when you're able to impact someone, then you leave a legacy. And that's only
Rick, can you talk about how Christ has always been the center of your life?
Well,
we talk football. You know, he's been the center and the focus of your life.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. And the mom gave it to me at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, me now being a friend of my father, but me being sacrifice was God. Now, in my lonely times, it was kind of hard. I always tell women this. Be careful of the things a man won't share with you, and that's silent cries. Men ain't going to share silent cries with mama, because mama can't understand what men go through sometimes. You know, so the person I did always go to was God. And that's the person that I tell anybody, forget me. The only reason I'm still here is because of him.
Service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing? You're showing it the foundation here, which is good. Dr. King says, if a man hasn't found something to die for, life isn't worth living. Talk to me, Ray.
And this is the reason why he had to walk the streets. This is the reason why Malcolm X had to walk the streets. Because we ain't going back to our streets. If you ain't willing to die for that, to go back where you came from, then you don't find yourself on this peak, and you so high up there that you don't forget why God walked the earth. That's why he walked the earth. See, we got to go through the same walk. And we're confusing it. We're confusing it because we all got to go home one day.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a fact. That we all got to go home one day.
Come here, you got to go.
And if you do, then those famous words, every man or woman wants to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Number 52, talk about it again. Captain College.
Yeah.
Coach gave it to you.
That's God's number.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's number.
No,
yeah.
Coach, you were special.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach Shannon first got in. We had great linebackers before me that was there, and they had some heck of a numbers, and they represented it very well, very well. And when I got there, the first thing he said was, I don't want you to know the number. He said, nobody never wore 52 at the University of Miami, and that's going to be your number. To this day, it's still mine.
Talk about your foundation.
It's everything that I went through with mama. We was broke, man. $5 worth of food stamps last up 2 weeks sometimes.
And rain.
Harsh reality.
Amen. Amen.
Harsh reality, and that's my duty now. My duty is to give back to the people who are unfortunate, who don't have a bit of life. And all you got to do is give people a little bit of hope. That's why I play the way I play. That's why I pray the way I pray. And that's why I go out and help people the way I help. Because all I'm looking for is a little hope. Yeah.
Go over there, Junior. Go ahead. Get over there.
Ray Lewis, Friday, New York Stock Exchange. And it was interesting, too. Got a chance to talk to his mother. Number 52, nobody ever wore that number at the University of Miami. And just, you know, to give me back. Guys, here's a guy. They always try to talk about that situation way, way back with the nightclub thing and that. But great football player. Great young man, and so much like Manav's mother said about him, Dusty, you know, a great son. He always listened, and now we're going to listen to his mother talk about her son, Ray Lewis.
Well,
hold on,
Dusty. Yeah, go ahead.
You said Joy, he leaped, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
But no, more importantly, what I like about Ray is his relationship with Jesus. That's all that matters. My mother said, you know, what profit a man, you know, only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen. You know, Ray was our dame as a junior Dickens at 89 years old. So Ray knows the foundation of obeying God. So it's like even coming into the NFL, he had a lot of challenges. Everybody knows that, just like the rest of the guys. But that's why this is passion to do this. So, you know, he did just start another foundation. He took it home to actually educate the kids about financial literacy and not to let them. And I don't want to just say with agents, it's with anybody.
It's
with anybody.
That's the thing today. It's not just athletes.
It's anybody. So
entertainers, cops, and kids. I mean,
everybody.
Yeah,
so really, they should just focus it, even with the athletes, more because they worldwide. But my problem is, and I should have spoke today, the only problem that I have and I always had with the NFL, I think they make the guys targets when they put what they make. Everybody else don't know what they make. Everybody else's money is not in the paper.
Right.
If they will stop targeting the guys, letting them know this dollar amount, I don't think as much would be robbed from them. So that's been my problem. It's the only problem I ever had with NFL, and I would tell them this, the one thing, we should stop publicizing what they make in salary. That's what kills the guy. That's what makes people go after them. Of this
world. So that's what I would like to see change, where they can at least have privacy. Might say, well, okay, they did this, but they don't have to know their full salary cap. So that's what I want to instill in this organization, that they should bring forth, even with the guy brought up at the 40% that goes to the government. You know, they make the money, but then by the time everybody gets there,
it's not that much left.
It's like a fighter. So they really need to start everywhere.
Now, Junior, where'd that come from?
Well, you know, everybody has their nickname. He might give me, but his nickname is Baby Ray. But when I want, when he know when I mean business, I say Junior. He was my firstborn.
Wait, he jumped right there. Did you say Junior? He almost fell over.
You know, he always been disciplined. He always honored me, respect me. That's one thing about Ray. He have a very humble spirit. That's right.
I know you heard me.
Yeah, and he honors me. That's one thing I can say to this day. Right now, he's very disciplined. And that's why I tell people, he might be very courageous on the field, but I tell everybody, he's a mama's boy. And, you know, we just did an article on that mama's boy. Even though he's the man of the house, we got an article on that. But I love Ray because his heart is passionate. And that's why I tell people, get to know the man.
Yeah, man of the God's own heart.
He's a man of the God. You know I call him King David.
Was that David's name?
Yeah, that's David's name. And I tell people, I don't call him King David for all the things David did. I call him King David because he's a man of the God's own heart. Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Doc Stanley, Sports Enough on the Blake Radio Network. And, you know, the things that Sports and Deaf Nation is, like it says, you know, nobody else brings it like we bring it. Nobody else brings it first. I mean, tonight, the breaking of Bin Laden being killed right here. But it was a great interview of a young man who has a passion for helping others. And, you know, listen to his mother. And we had a great time talking to Mrs. McNabb yesterday, and maybe we'll talk some more to his dad who was with us, but I just thought the Ray Lewis part was very instrumental, and getting back to the talking about the young man who was there, the young fellow who swam to shore, avoiding the death with his mother and his other siblings. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake, we had enough rainbow cells, Sports Network, the show, up, Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Endeavor, the show. Big C, we need a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk some more sweet science and a host of things.
It was raised all.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Dusty, you had something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that his mom, as strong as she was, God bless her, was the one that, remember when he got involved in that killing in that nightclub?
Ray Caruth, with Ray Caruth.
Not Ray Caruth, Ray Lewis.
No, I know, I think that was the whole incident you're talking about, right?
No,
that was a different one.
Caruth
was a wide receiver that was involved in some type of murder thing.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Some type of murder for hire.
But that's the guy, it was in the 90s, right? Was it the 90s?
He tried to kill his girl, Sharika Williams, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was pregnant at the time.
But Ray Lewis was hanging out with his homeboys in that nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody
there was a shooting. People got killed. And he kept silent because he didn't want to rat out his boys. But it was a family influence. His mom who said, look, you're facing the end of your career, and he had no other choice but to come. Other than that, he would have done some heavy-duty time. We would not have the Ray Lewis that we have today. He would have been finished. That was,
you know, speaking of the Ray
career.
Lewis that we have today, Dusty, pardon me for cutting you off.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to say the other day that I heard this from Boomer Esiason, and as you all know, from NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And he says that his last year in the league was the first year in the league for Ray Lewis.
Right.
And he said, man, I'm looking at the way this dude's coming across the line, and I've never seen anything like it, man. He's like the ferociousness, the angriness. And the way this dude is coming across, I'm like, oh my God!
He's lucky he didn't run into David Singletary, because him Singletary and Ray Lewis are like Siamese twins.
But you know what? No, I think Lewis is more talented. I think Lewis is
perhaps yes.
I think Singletary was more of your typical straight-ahead middle linebacker, and he was a product.
Ferocious.
He was a product of
that defense. You know,
yeah,
Ray
makes
the defense.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, you know, Ray is maybe the Lawrence Taylor linebacker. The Lawrence Taylor was the line, you know, but you know, Ray Lewis is just a gifted player. I mean, in all the big games that his team plays, he always makes a big fumble. He always makes a tremendous catch. He's a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't. I don't think he was a superstar. You know, Lewis is a superstar. When you say Ray Lewis, you say superstar. When you say Herb Adderley, when you say Lawrence Taylor, when you say Big Daddy Lipscomb, you're talking superstars, guys who make a. I mean, I remember O.J. Anderson said that when he was with the Cardinals, when the Giants came to town, the first meeting that they had was, what are we going to do with LT? And when people play
exactly.
the Ravens, the first thing they say, what are we going to do with Ray Lewis?
Ray Lewis.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is the ferocity of how they both attacked, whether he was talented or not. I mean, more talented than Singletary, but I'm talking about in the ferocity.
No, no, I mean, there's no question about it. You get the echo there, too, Dusty. I don't know where you're
getting it. Is it an echo there somewhere?
Yeah, you get an echo somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what? Dusty, hang up and call back in 2 weeks. Stanley, sports and death. Blake, radio number, Rainbow Social, sports and death of the show. It all happens here, ladies and gentlemen. We talked to the great Lewis's mother. As you know, Bin Laden has been killed right away. We told you here first.
Let me give you this is a special soundbite that came up. It says,
go ahead.
We have his body, meaning the USA. So now the folks cannot say that it's not him, and he cannot be martyred. So we have his remains. The special troops got him, and now they're going to take him to Afghanistan to make sure to prove to the world that he is dead. So he's not buried in the mountain.
Good thing you repeated that, Dusty. Otherwise, certain parties would be asking if we had the birth certificate.
Exactly.
You know what? It was funny. It's funny you said that because we talked about that yesterday. It's funny. We talked about that yesterday, and where Steve Martin tweeted in, he says, you know, I found Donald Trump's birth certificate. He was born in Hawaii before it became a state. I have a problem with that.
He's a Hawaiian, a fat Hawaiian.
I have a problem. And then, you know, Trump was at the dinner last night at the White House. And,
wow.
And one of the things, you know, when the president got on him, and he said one of the things he thought that Trump was going to tell him like, you know he knows where Biggie and Tupac are, you know what I mean? For today's Daily News. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Rainbow Soul Sports and Depth Show. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports and Depth is the show. Milo, we have you in the wings. Glad to have you with us on the show. Always have the legend of Harold Weston. We also have maybe Lonnie Bradley's going to call in and join us. We've got the regular crew here. Lady A, Zia Zesty, and little Coco Mel Smith Jr. That's how it goes. So what's said, little Coco. And also none other than Sea Wings talking NFL football. The big news is that you're hearing Osama bin Laden has been killed, and as our panel has changed. You know, I just want to say this panel, I just can't thank you enough for what you're bringing to the table. And I can tell the world, my panel, tonight, okay, my panel handled politics, okay? It was Sea Wings who told you what the world, what the news were affected around. Hadn't told you yet. You heard it here first on Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, Sports. You heard it here first, okay? And you can't beat Sea Wings. You can't beat Lady A. Little Coco, Destino Baby Lewis, Milo, the legendary Harold Weston. We get Bert Flowers in here sometimes. We're dedicating this show another to a legendary figure. Hey, Bill Gallo, Harold, your thoughts and feelings on Bill Gallo? You've met Bill on occasion, right?
Oh, yeah, quite a few times.
Great guy?
Yeah, Bill, you know, Bill's a good guy. I mean,
boxing,
you know,
guy, too, right? Boxing guy?
Yeah, boxing guy. He's an old boxing guy, knows his guys. You know, he has his opinion about certain guys and everything. And he writes about what he feels about the situation. He's not correct all the time, but... You know, but basically, you know, he's on the spot and he's trying to get the information. But he knows all the players that's in the boxing world that, you know, created this this giant industry that came in. You know, the industry was he was part of that group. And
yeah,
so
when it was thriving, him back there. You know, you're talking about guys like I was talking to some people last night at the auction, and we looked at some of the stuff there. And the lady, she started talking about, you know, Miles Davis, you know, because I thought I had a Miles Davis autograph. She said, what's it? You know, Miles hardly signed stuff, you know. And I thought about it right away, and thinking about Miles, I'm thinking about you, you know. Art, and you think about Miles, I think about Art. Art, who introduced you to Miles. And but that was that whole, what, Harold, when did boxing die? Gallo thought it ended right after the Tyson era. You know, the attention, the luster of the heavyweight division. When did boxing die, in your opinion, Harold, and why?
I think boxing started dying close to the end of the 80s. About like 88, 89, it started going really downhill. It died because when Don King came in and started this promotional
locking
fighters
up.
And then Aaron wanted to jump on board, and then you had the Doofus. Then you had, you know, everybody started jumping on board. And then, you know, you couldn't bring, fighters couldn't come to the, you know, they couldn't get matches at the Garden like you could, you know, good
wow.
fights and everything. And these guys thought they had a great dream of fighting, you know, being locked up and getting easy wins and everything else. But what this has done to them has completely ruined the sport, because now instead of them fighting five or six times a year, now they're fighting one time or maybe three tops a year.
Oh, and in your case, in the case of Pacquiao, he's fighting guys in the circle. You bring a point here, Harold, Doc Stanley Sports and Dev Howard, West Virginia, because two things here. I remember, first of all, Mark Breland said that when he came from the amateurs to the pros killed him. He didn't like the pros. He didn't like what you said, being locked up to one guy, not being able to associate. And this is why you didn't join that tournament with King, right?
Right. That's the reason why I didn't join Top, because I didn't want nobody to lock me up, because I wouldn't have that privilege to fight anywhere and anybody that I want to fight, you know. And I was in a unique situation. I could fight anybody. You know, not too many fighters could say that. You know, I can fight anybody, anywhere, and knew I can win. But the fact is that when you're locked down, you know, the manager's not managing no more. All he's doing, he's waiting for that promoter to give you a fight. You know what the result is, because he's giving you an easy fight because he don't want you to lose. So he gives you an easy fight. So where do you get that experience from? So, you know, you lose all that glamour out of the sport and out of the fighter, because he's not being put with a compatible match where he can show his skills and grow as a fighter. And so basically you lose that glamour in sport, and that's what has happened. And you know, and what it has done is not helped the sport. It's just fooling whoever the promoter is, putting their money in their pocket and thinking that they're glamour.
What you're saying is, by doing that, what's happening, guys who they're winning but they're losing, where in the old days where losing could have been winning.
Right, and then look at it this way too, right? And everybody knows it. We lost all the good trainers that could have been around. Okay,
and we talked about that last week. That's so true.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we lost fighters that can still be around too,
mm-hmm.
if they had the trainers. And
mm-hmm.
that's where the boxing has went the other way. Now you got these. Now what I'm saying to you now, we're getting ready to lose. We're going to lose Don King. We're going to lose Bob Arum, because they're getting ready to quit. They're in their 80s. They're not going to stay around too long. I mean, give them a 3-year tops.
Have Don and Arum, in spite of their injection of their positive, have they been good for boxing? And what have they done for a positive nature, if they have?
Well, Don did one good thing, and I got to give Don credit, and I always said this. Don was the only one was able to raise the purses for fighters.
Wow.
He did that.
Yeah, raise,
and
increase
that, and
the
he
money.
Opened that door open. That was the greatest thing Don did.
Mm.
But beyond that, you know, there's too many bad sides to the city. The bad outweighs the good. and the good is the fact that, like I said, if Don, you got to understand, what Don did is that he opened up that gate and you made things happen. And people thought, okay, this is a new venture for boxing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's going to bring boxing to life,
because
now I'm getting more money.
Right.
Okay? But he closed. Yeah, okay. Now he got himself in the door. He said, okay, I got you. And then he put the hooks on everybody. And then the fighters now is not making the money they thought they was going to make it. And Don tricked them into a situation that they thought they were going to make more money, but they learned out that they lost money.
But you know what, Harold, you bring up a good point, because I remember growing up, you know.
Lady, hold on a second. Baby Milo, you still with us, Milo? Milo. Baby Milo. Okay,
hello?
And that background sound of the television, I need that muted somewhere. Who's ever got that? I don't need to hear that in the background. So whoever's got that, let's get that out there for me. Lady A, come on, go ahead. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, realize when you're on the air, your telephone is a mic, so I need you exclusively. Don't need background sound, don't need feedback.
One of the things that
hold on, Dusty, Lady A, you sound like, Lady A sound like Dusty again, too. My goodness, boy, you're a hell of a
drummer. Go ahead, Lady A.
No, I was going to say that Harold brings up a good point because I remember, I went in the 70s growing up, I used to watch boxing with my dad, and one of the things that stood out with me was it was like you would see good fights all of the time. Like, I mean, you know, you would see these every class, you would see guys fight each other. They were like spectacular fights in the 70s and 80s.
And
you don't see that now. It's like, look, you got a guy like Harold, right? Harold fought Benitez in 77, and he fought him in 79. You know, like, you know, those are the kind of guys that would end up fighting each other. Well, you end up seeing great fights, you know? I mean, okay, I mean, Harold, when he lost to Hearns, I mean, we all know he lost, you know, he got hurt really bad, but,
Lady,
you know, with a lot of these fighters,
you bring a good point. If you look at Harold West's dossier, he fought Benitez twice.
Yeah,
he fought Hearns. He fought Pepino Cuevas. You know what I mean? I mean, his dossier.
He's
resume
is filled with Hall of Famers, dog.
You stop right there. What about Vito Antifermo, Rocky Mattioli, Hedgman Lewis? I mean, I can go on and on.
Now you don't see that. You don't see these guys like,
you
pull up their dossier and it's like, come on, man. How did this guy?
Because they got away from the best. They got away from the best fighting the best. Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's what Harold's talking about.
That's what Harold said, because of all the internal politics and all the, you know, the money grabs and power plays, they got away from the best fighting the best. Because the fighters, when you get to the level of a Harold Weston Jr., you know, a Casino Baby Lewis, when you get to a level like that, and you know you're a top championship, a top fighter, man, they don't mind the best fighting the best, because they got all the confidence in the world in their skills. It's the guys, the money guys, who do all the politicking and keeping the best from fighting the best. When you get on a level like Harold, hey, these guys got confidence in their skills. Hey, bring them on. Let's make this money. It's the other guys that have a little turmoil going.
One of the things that you got to understand, too, and I agreed in part with Harold, as the fight has a death knell, but I go back to my days, and this is what's missing today. Once you become a champ, you only fight championship fights. And I remember the days with Kid Gavilan, I used to train, and all them guys who were champs who were fighting over-the-weight matches with contenders for 10 rounds, and people were drawn to see the champ even fighting a 10-rounder. And now, if you're a champ, you don't fight anything but championship fights. You don't fight a preliminary.
You're talking about before television, Dusty, when you would fight.
Whether it's before television or not, the fact of the matter is
that's one of the
missing things of boxing today. Ike Quarte, why didn't we see Ike Quarte fight that many times here? Because he was spoiled. And he says, unless I fight a championship fight, I'm not leaving Ghana to fight for $500,000.
You're right.
The Mosleys and all these guys fighting just championship fights, but you don't have them fighting preliminaries.
Harold?
Right, because when I fought Fredo Benitez the first time, he was already world champion, and we fought over a weight match.
Who's that?
But he would not come back and fight a $750,000 fight. He had to fight championship fights. And this is what got...
Due to his promoter, Lou Duva, he dictated, and therefore he wouldn't fight. And now, is gentlemen, and you two guys have been in the ring, is that a lack of heart, or is that just plain stupidity, or, as Harold would say, just somebody that's caught up in the system, Harold?
No,
what it is, you got
to understand what it is with the promoter. He only wants the championship fight because that's where he makes most of the money for him. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Yep.
The manager is going to make the fight. If he's going to make over the weight match, he's doing it for one reason. He wants to keep his fighters sharp.
Absolutely.
And the same thing, and keeping money in his fighters' pocket. That's the reason why you do those kind of fights. You understand what I'm saying? But these today, these guys don't want to fight. When they get their guys champion, they say, oh, we ain't fighting number championship. Because they know
exactly.
They're going to get the $1 million or half a million.
Absolutely.
Instead of say, okay, I want my champion to get a tune-up fight, so we want to fight a 10-rounder,
okay,
and
Harold,
we'll fight
okay,
overweight.
Harold,
and they
okay,
say
Harold, Dusty,
100,000.
Then also, then what you're saying also, too, is that HBO and Showtime is guilty?
It's
the
no
whole
question.
System is guilty, Doc. The whole system.
They're definitely guilty at it.
The whole system.
They definitely
guilty.
I mean, because
yeah.
One thing about it is that if they, it's like when back in the day, ABC would not do a fight unless you really was a top-notch fighter. Okay,
exactly.
You couldn't go on TV unless you was a top-notch fighter, and you
Absolutely.
Can fight, and you was going to fight somebody. Okay,
seven,
so
baby.
It ain't
That's
like
right.
what it is today.
ABC,
I mean, you had to fight somebody.
That in the club, ABC. We have tonight. Have
what?
On Saturdays, guys.
Yeah.
Right now, you got Floyd Mayweather again to bring his name up to the call. Floyd Mayweather would not fight anything less than a pay per view, and that's
right.
what I'm saying.
Right.
He would not fight it. He said, and Doc, you were saying right in front of him what he says. You see those guys? Those guys are just HBO fighters. I'm a pay per view fighter, and I wouldn't fight for anything less than that. When he came back from his retirement, he wanted a pay per view. He had to fight somebody of a higher caliber to justify the pay per view, which was Juan Manuel Marquez who called him out. He didn't call Marquez out. Marquez called him out.
But you know, when you look at him, he's so much bigger than Marquez. I mean,
well,
it was like,
come on, man,
he looks so much bigger than Marquez.
Bigger or smaller, that was the only way that he would fight. And Marquez was the only justification for a pay-per-view. Other than that, he had to take some HBO fight. He says, I'm not an HBO fighter. I'm a pay-per-view fighter. And this is what's happening today now. Unless you're fighting a championship and you're a champion, right now you got this guy Vasquez from Puerto Rico fighting El Travieso from Mexico. They wouldn't fight 10 rounds. It had to be a championship fight. And this is what, to me, in my opinion, killed the boxing, because the champion disappears. And you got preliminary guys. You get tired of that crap. You want to see the champ active. I remember Kid Gavilan, how many fights that he fought at 10 rounds. In fact, he built, you know, these guys will build up contenders for their championship fight. Sometimes they will lose that 10-rounder. Oh, my God, so-and-so champ lost in a 10-rounder. Well, that contender will then get a championship fight.
You know what, Dusty? You do. Now, the first fight, Duran lost. And like I said, I don't know if you're the real Dusty because I'm agreeing
right.
with you.
Right.
The first fight Duran lost was a non-title fight, the Esteban
right.
de Jesus.
Esteban
de
Jesus.
And Harold, I think you promoted this fight, Vilmar Fernandez against Alexis Laguerre, another non-title fight, and Vilmar
right.
Fernandez beat him in the garden.
Right.
You
know, no
that's
question,
the fight
right.
that you promoted. Because I remember they were talking about putting Aguayo and Duran together. I remember leaving the fight when guys said, that's the guy supposed to fight Duran. Real quickly, gentlemen, I want to go back to some of the commentary that the president shot last night at a roast at Donald Trump. And some of the comments he said was that no one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than Donald Trump, than Donald. Omama said this way. He said, and there's... That's because he finally got back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did
exactly.
we fake the moon landing? What really happened to Roswell, and where are Biggie and Tupac? We're dedicating the show to Bill Gallo. Gallo came to, 70 years ago, came to the Daily News 1941 as a copy boy. He lost his dad at an early age. He's the foremost cartoonist of his generation in Daily right here in New York City. And we're dedicating this show to Bill Gallo. Bill's been a little under the weather lately. A big article in today's Daily News about Bill. Also, a story done on Pacquiao about your good buddy there, Tim Smith. Gallo was in the military. He said it was the first time you were free. Nobody telling you what to do, said Gallo, who had first come to work at the Daily News back in 1941, and now 70 years later remains the institutional memory of the paper and a precious link to New York City. History, New York Sports City.
when you're in the service, whether you're a corporal, lieutenant, or captain, somebody's always telling you what to do. Gallo got on the subway, the good old subway, he calls it, and headed home to Astoria, where he'd grown up with his love for sports and inherited from his father, a newspaper man who immigrated to New York from Spain. Gallo's mother was an aspiring concert pianist who came to New York from Argentina on vacation and met Gallo's father in English language class. Within a week of his return, the 24-year-old Gallo was back in the news. He gravitated to the sports desk and did everything except sweep the floor. And I did that too, he says, at a time when the big three sports were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. Great guy, great human being. We're dedicating this show to him. We're keeping him in our prayers. He's doing well. And just a great guy, always the same. And like you say, Harold, is so much so of a boxing guy. And I think, you know, Art Russ was a boxer. I remember the great Howie Evans. It was at the Hagler-Duran fight. And I was going to my seat. I introduced a buddy of mine to Howie Evans. And Howie told Joe, he said, Joe, now, he may tell you he's a sports writer, but he's a boxing writer. And I'm proud to be part of that heritage. I knew when the Gallos and the Phil Pepes, you know, and these are old-time guys who weren't concerned about color complexion, just what you knew, which gained Harold so much respect. And I remember a fight at the Garden, and we were heading back to the dressing room, and the great Bill Pepe, and he said, Mel, I was sitting on the other side of the ring. Was that a right hand or a left hand that he hit him with? I said, it was a left hand, Phil. I mean, that's all you need to know. When a guy like Phil Pepe turns around to you and has that kind of trust and respect for you, you know, and it's like the great thing Dr. King said, it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. And it's not so much respect, is when you get the right kind of people to respect you. And the love and the affection I have for this panel here, you guys are the absolute best. Dr. Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, with another Rainbow Souls, Sports Network is a show. We're coming up to almost 11:30 with another half hour to go. Harold Weston is here. Little Coco. We lost Milo, but Lady A is here, and also D is Dusty. We're talking boxing. We're talking baseball. Did the Mets pull that game out, Dusty?
No.
They lost?
Yeah. No, not yet. They're in the 10th. They're tied at 1.
I like Big C. No, not yet.
Not
did
yet.
You hear that? Now, they haven't lost just yet, you know what I mean? That's C-Wings, that's Big C's team. Well, thank you guys. You know, great job yesterday on the intro of the show. I got here in time before the coup took over. I'm glad of that. But a great intro for our show. I can't tell you all, but, you know, you had to see Mr. Sam McNabb on his cell phone, plugged into the wall, black tie affair, in a tuxedo, indulged in talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. Man, he was just so into it. And then we had basketball, Mr. Brown come in, but Mr. McNabb really enjoyed it. And the questions that were shoved to him, and he answered, which, I mean, the one thing he said, and me and Little Coco, talked about earlier today when he said, you know, in retrospect, the reality of the fact that the Syracuse playbook was so large and superior to the NFL playbook. And he said, you can't play at a quarterback position without being cerebral and not also being aware of where all the other players are.
Mm-hmm. I found that interesting, too, when he said that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did, because I got to tell you, lady, the first time, and it's true, the first time I saw a pro playbook, I said, you've got to be kidding. This is what you have to know? I mean, you know, like you said, you know, you're a pro quarterback. Not only do I have to know where I am, but I have to know where every single person on my offensive line is supposed to be. Is he supposed to be 8 yards out? Is my receiver supposed to be doing a pattern hook?
You know, Tom Brady talked about how cerebral and how dedicated to the game that Randy Moss is, and he was saying at one practice last year when he was coming back that they ran a certain play, and Ross was kind of Moss, and he said, you know what, practice over. If Randy Moss, he said, I got to leave on a high note. Randy Moss didn't know the play. Birthdays real quick this week. David Beckham is tomorrow. Randy Travis is the 4th. Chris Brown. Brian Williams is on the 5th. Well, the thing that got me was, okay, on the 6th, this is really the only date I'm caring about, George Clooney and Bob Seger, I am irate that they didn't mention that May 6th is the birthday of Willie Mays, and May 3rd is the birthday of the birthday of Ray Robinson. You know, and
sugar,
yeah, it's crazy. Okay, gentlemen and ladies, We're going to take a quick break. Big C, can you give us that spot? And then we'll be back for the last half hour of Sports of Depth, the place to be on a Sunday night with my crew. And you realize that when you call in here, you start out as a stranger, but when you leave, you're family and a friend. Doc Stanley, Sports of Depth, on the plate. We're doing it with Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports of Depth, the show. Big C, let it roll.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake. We don't know what Rainbow Soul Sports Network show. You know, we're going to go political here in a minute, but real quickly, Rooney, now, who's going to win this fight? Is it Shane or is it Pacquiao? Who are you picking? Real quickly, one more time.
Pacquiao wins.
Okay, okay,
Pacquiao.
That's good.
I'm just going to leave that down.
Okay, okay.
So now
it's 4-2. Okay, all right, because you may have got a different choice to talk now. Okay, you know, we are here. C Wings, are you here? C Wings,
right, lady? Yeah, yeah, I'm
talking. Is C Wings still here? Yeah, well, because I heard you may have been in that coup with Dusty. I haven't really felt this out yet. You know what I mean? No, we're going to start with you, Harold, and my crew here can do something. You know, what kind of impact does the death of Bin Laden mean to America and the world, Harold? And then we're going to Lady A and Dusty. And but you start off, Harold.
Well, I think basically where it is that the people of the world, especially the United States, is very grateful for a man that, you know, when he killed so many people, and we are so happy now that we caught him. And it took so many years to do it. That's the bad part about it. But the good part about it, we finally said that we killed him. But at the same time, you know, I don't think it's going to put any dent into anything that he has already planned with the people that he's already have on board and the other organizations that's out there that's against the United States. So basically, you just killed a head, but you didn't kill the body.
And how it is common theory in boxing parlance that the kill the body and the head will die.
Yeah, well, they didn't kill the body. All they did was kill the head. So the body is still going to be
the
there. They're going to place another head on it. That's all they're going to do.
Well, I think it's more like pest control in the city subway. You kill one rat, you got thousands and thousands more to go.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. Good example.
Good example. But, Harold, I have a question. Doc, if I may.
Doc? Go ahead.
Now, you hear in other sports, the NBA, they said, you know, they're losing $300 million. You hear in different other sports, hockey never really recovered from that lockout. Do you think, I know you answered the question earlier about when boxing went down, but you know, you said the late 80s. Do you think when it went down and lost a lot of viewership, and also do you think it's lost a lot of money as a sport overall, Al?
Well, I don't think it lost any money. I just think it lost
absolutely
a lot of
never.
Viewership. I think the money is always going to be there.
Yeah.
I think we still got our crowd there. I think what it's got to be, we just got to rebuild the talent that's out there that wants to be on board again. And we got to restructure a lot of these crazy rules that they got out there to make boxing more exciting like it was before. And that's what you got to bring to the table. I mean, they try as they always tell me, the kids always saying, you know, those are old ways. But you know what? The old ways work. We tried your way for the last 20 years. You fail. We got to do it all over again, because what has happened in the last 25 years has failed the boxing world. And so when something fails, you go back to square one, and we got to redo the situation and bring boxing back to its life. And I'm not talking about the Manny Pacquiao, the Shane Mosley, the whole, you know, Bernard Hopkins and all guys. I'm talking about that young group out there that's coming out to the Olympics. I'm talking about those young kids that want to fight. And it's talking about those trainers that really want to get back into the game but need that platform to go and work their kids so the kids can have something to do. And I think that's where it's at. The money is still there. We just got to bring the talent back to make it happen again. And that's where it is. And they need that platform to make it happen.
And we're running into also the fact that the lure of money is pushing some of these not ready for prime time fighters into big purses when they're not ready. And
right.
Because there's too much money out there. I mean, if we were paid starvation wages like I was paid, maybe. But it's not that way anymore. This is what, you know. I heard a promoter said the other day. I mean, the last time I went to a press conference, he was talking about this. Oh yeah, give the kid what he wants, you know. And the sixth round is good. Okay, sign the contract. The kid was getting for a sixth round, he was getting paid $7,000. Boom. I said, my Lord, in my day, a sixth rounder was $250, man. You know, a four-round preliminary in St. Nick's was $75. So it's the lure of the money. I mean, these kids, I wonder, and a lot of these kids today are put on salary by their managers and trainers. They don't work an outside job. They're in the gym every day. They're in the gym every day, and they're paid a stipend to just train. I mean, we had to go to work. We had to go to get up in the morning before our jobs and run and then go to work and then go to the gym. I remember I used to go to Stillman's at 5:30 at night to get home at 9 to get up the next day at 5 and run and go to work. I mean, they don't have that anymore.
Yeah, but let me tell you this.
President is talking, if anybody's interested. He's given his
the president's talking
President now? Obama.
Yeah, but
given
you know,
his,
the thing.
I want to hear Harold. What
yeah, the thing that people would not understand today, which would blow your mind. The guy's now getting like $750 to $1,000 for four rounds. Can you imagine that?
Harold,
I can
Harold,
fight
hold on
every
a minute.
Week.
Harold, let's listen to the president for a second. Hold on, Harold.
All right.
Hey, Doc.
September 11th, 2001. In our time of grief, the American people came together. We offered our neighbors a hand, and we offered the wounded our blood. We reaffirmed our ties to each other and our love of community and country. On that day, no matter where we came from, what God we prayed to, or what race or ethnicity we were united as one American family. We were also united in our resolve to protect our nation, and to bring those who committed this vicious attack to justice. Quickly learned that the 9/11 attacks were carried out by Al-Qaeda, an organization headed by Osama bin Laden, which had openly declared war on the United States and was committed to killing innocents in our country and around the globe. And so we went to war against Al-Qaeda to protect our citizens, our friends, and our allies. Over the last 10 years, thanks to the tireless and heroic work of our military and our counterterrorism professionals, we've made great strides in that effort. We've disrupted terrorist attacks and strengthened our homeland defense. In Afghanistan, we removed the Taliban government, which had given bin Laden and Al-Qaeda safe haven and support. And around the globe, we worked with our friends and allies to capture or kill scores of Al-Qaeda terrorists, including several who were a part of the 9/11 plot. Yet Osama bin Laden avoided capture and escaped across the Afghan border into Pakistan. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda continued to operate from along that border and operate through its affiliates across the world. And so shortly after taking office, I directed Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, to make the killing or capture of bin Laden the top priority of our war against Al-Qaeda, even as we continued our broader efforts to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat his network. Then, last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain, and it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body. For over two decades, bin Laden has been al-Qaeda's leader and symbol, and has continued to plot attacks against our country and our friends and allies. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda. Yet his death does not mark the end of our effort. There's no doubt that al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us. We must, and we will, remain vigilant at home and abroad. As we do, we must also reaffirm that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. I've made clear, just as President Bush did shortly after 9/11, that our war is not against Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims. Indeed, al-Qaeda slaughtered scores of Muslims in many countries, including our own. So his demise should be welcomed by all who believe in peace and human dignity. Over the years, I've repeatedly made clear that we would take action within Pakistan if we knew where bin Laden was. That is what we've done. But it's important to note that our counterterrorism cooperation with Pakistan helped lead us to bin Laden and the compound where he was hiding. Indeed, bin Laden had declared war against Pakistan as well and ordered attacks against the Pakistani people. Tonight, I called President Zardari, and my team has also spoken with their Pakistani counterparts. They agree that this is a good and historic day for both of our nations. And going forward, it is essential that Pakistan continue to join us in the fight against al-Qaeda and its affiliates. The American people did not choose this fight. It came to our shores and started with the senseless slaughter of our citizens. After nearly 10 years of service, struggle, and sacrifice, we know well the costs of war. These efforts weigh on me every time I, as Commander-in-Chief, have to sign a letter to a family that has lost a loved one, or look into the eyes of a service member who's been gravely wounded. So Americans understand the costs of war. Yet, as a country, we will never tolerate our security being threatened, nor stand idly by when our people have been killed. We will be relentless in defense of our citizens and our friends and allies. We will be true to the values that make us who we are. And on nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done. Tonight, we give thanks to the countless intelligence and counterterrorism professionals who've worked tirelessly to achieve this outcome. The American people do not see their work nor know their names, but tonight, they feel the satisfaction of their work and the result of their pursuit of justice. We give thanks for the men who carried out this operation, for they exemplify the professionalism, patriotism, and unparalleled courage of those who serve our country. And they are part of a generation that has borne the heaviest share of the burden since that September day. Finally, let me say to the families who lost loved ones on 9/11 that we have never forgotten your loss, nor wavered in our commitment to see that we do whatever it takes to prevent another attack on our shores. And tonight, let us think back to the sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11. I know that it has at times frayed. Yet today's achievement is a testament to the greatness of our country and the determination of the American people. The cause of securing our country is not complete, but tonight we are once again reminded that America can do whatever we set our mind to. That is the story of our history. Whether it's the pursuit of prosperity for our people or the struggle for equality for all our citizens, our commitment to stand up for our values abroad, and our sacrifices to make the world a safer place. Let us remember that we can do these things not just because of wealth or power, but because of who we are. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Well, there it is, gang. What does this do for his presidency? How finish your thought, and now
I think he made a big stride. I think it's a big moment for a president to have this kind of situation being taken care of at this particular time in his presidency, especially with all the problems he's been having. And this is just another notch that he has achieved since being president of the United States in the last 2 years. I mean, you know, with the health care and now this, and he set out when he came office that he was going to go after Bin Laden, he was going to get him before he leaves office, before his presidency is up. So I take my hat off to him, and knowing that they had this already in planning for the last, since what he said, September. I mean, since August.
Right.
So basically, the special services thing was already they already was in focus of getting Bin Laden one way or the other. And I knew the way the special services don't get, they only get you when they only kill you. They don't even capture you. They just go in there and do what they got to do and come on back home. So, but you know, the bottom line is that this president is being a president, and I take my hats off. I didn't think that he would be able to step up to the plate like he did, but he has grown in this position, and I take my hat off to him.
C-Wings. Okay, Lady A. In the wake of some of the controversy, you know, it's funny, this happens right after the question, the credibility of his birth certificate. Does this somehow propel him into another term? Or what are your thoughts altogether, Lady A?
I mean, my thing is, you know, I'm just happy for the people that lost people in 9/11 now finally have some closure. You know, that's the most important thing. I mean,
right.
You know, cops, firemen, Port Authority cops, you know, everybody lost people. You know, they know. I mean, I lost people I know in 9/11. You know, I mean, I was on a plane during 9/11. So, I mean, you know, I mean, just little things like that to bring it all back, kind of bring a little bit of closure, you know, to the whole situation. You know, kind of now these people can actually rest in peace. You know, so.
Not to be nosy, Lady A, but you were in our airspace. You were in our airspace during 9/11.
Yeah, I was one of the last planes to make it into JFK Airport.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. I just want to say once again that, you know, the sports in-depth nation, I mean, here we are having our usual panel discussion. I mean, Doc, you have brought the sports in-depth nation, Jazz, the players, parents. Now we have breaking news while we're on the air about Bin Laden. I just don't know if there's anything that our panel hasn't faced or will face in the future in the sports in depth nation.
But you know what? I think this is more of a symbolic.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The closure, more for closure, yeah.
Symbolic. I mean, if you look at the U.S., it's always been the target. I mean, you've had not only domestic terrorists. You have America's been under threat from domestic as well as foreign. You just never know. I mean, you look at the attempted bombing in Times Square last year. That had nothing to do with Bin Laden. I mean, he's just one of many hundreds, probably thousands of groups that's looking to make a name. I mean, it's just like Iraq. We're fighting people that probably, you know, groups that are probably not even that were originally in Iraq. They just came over there to boost their ideologies against the U.S. or to make a statement. That was just a platform for them to do it.
But you know what, like just to add to what you're saying, I mean, we, you know, the last big thing that happened with them that they saw on TV was 9/11. So they need to, like, somehow psychologically keep playing this so that they know, hey, listen, you know what? You got away with one, but now we killed the lead guy. You know, just like when Saddam Hussein, you know, Saddam Hussein was captured and killed and everything. You know, like, you know what?
You know
they're
what?
Constantly showing things about what they do, beheading people and stuff like that. We need to now psychologically throw this out there so that could affect them as well and say, hey, you know what? We are a strong nation. You know,
we got them. We can do it. And you know,
absolutely.
If you step out of line, we kick you behind.
Exactly.
Can I tell y'all a story? Let me tell you a story. When I got drafted in the military, I'm coming from that 60 era and all that, and I got drafted in 72, right? And I'm when they drafted me, I go in there and I had that militant attitude, okay? And I said, man, fuck this. I ain't going this. I ain't doing nothing. I'm the white man, blah, 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 and all this. And we going to take over. We going to do some revolution. I mean, my attitude was really bad. I ain't want to be in there.
Well, it hasn't changed that much over the years, Hal.
Wait a minute. But let me just say this, right? The lieutenant just saw me, you know, every day. So he got tired of it, right? So he said, Weston, come with me. I said, okay, you know, I'm walking with him, right? And he said, let's take a drive. We jumped the Jeep. I'm driving the lieutenant. He said, let's go. Let's take a ride. Let's talk a little bit. So he said, drive over to the tank area, right? So he said, do you have one of these in your neighborhood? I said, nah, I ain't got no tank in the neighborhood. He said, okay, good. We drove a little bit more. He said, do you have one of these airplanes in your neighborhood, these fighter planes? I said, nah. And then he drove, and then we went to the armor place and everything, went inside. He said, do you have all these kind of guns? You might have a few, but you don't have these big ones that we got, these M16s. And I just said, no. He said, now, why the hell y'all going to beat us? He said, we will do what we got to do to save this country. All you got to do is just get out of here alive, one way or the other. You can leave here with your senses, or you can leave here in a body bag, one way or the other. He said, now, I just say this to you. You are a good person. You don't need all this heckling and everything. You belong to us. And all I can say to you is that just follow the situation as hand. Do as we say. Keep on. And that's it. He said, now, do you want to be a platoon sergeant? I said, yes, sir. I'm fine. No problem, sir. And I became a 2 sergeant. After that, I ain't had no more problems.
Stanley, you know, I'm thinking about that body bag line, and it was, I remember the one that, you know, when Pernell Whitaker was fighting another fight you promoted in the Garden, Buddy McGirt, and Buddy.
No,
Buddy,
I never promoted that fight with them guys.
You promoted that one? Okay.
Nah.
So,
I ain't going to lie.
That was
Doofus.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, maybe that's why the car wasn't that good. And it was a good little fight, though. But I remember the big talk was Buddy McGirt's arm. And Marion Boykin said, you know, Doc, he said, you know how I feel about Buddy? He said, if me and Buddy robbed the liquor store, they had to bring us out in handcuffs or body bags. He said, but Buddy can't beat Bruno with it. His arm may get better, but it won't get well. Big C, you're in the control room. Your thoughts. You know, you one of these cerebral guys, went to Pace College and the little whiz kids. Your thoughts on the Bin Laden slaying, and also your thoughts on what impact this has on the presidency as a stepping stone and probably a big boost. He's kept his word, and does this propel him back into another term?
I would hope so. I mean, I voted for him. I like him. I think he inspires me every time I hear him. But one interesting thing happened. I'm watching the game. And the stadium in Philly, they were just chanting USA, USA. So I'm, you know, to throw it back to what Lady H said, it's psychological. It'll help heal, you know, a small part of the nation. But at the same time, I agree with Howard Weston. Like, you took care of the head, but the body's still out there. The network is still out there.
Right.
So psychologically, it's a small victory.
But you know, still have more work to do.
You know,
and his detractors aren't going to give him a lot of credit for this.
Well, you know what,
Doc and
Rooney,
Kyle, they're still going to be saying,
Rooney,
what
you're right
took
on
him
the money.
So long?
You're right on
why
the money,
was
Rooney.
He still out there?
Yeah.
What took him so long?
Right on the money. Yeah, yeah. And
you
then,
know
what,
his detractors aren't going to give him any credit.
And, you know,
for
you raise up a great point on Rooney, because Marion Boykin, the great Marion Boykin, Marion B. Boykin, Black Foundation, bringing a brother. You know, the early part of this week was the question of the credibility of his birth certificate and all that sort of stuff. And Marion Boykin, I sent him a story, and he wrote this back to me. Doc, I don't see why all blacks don't see racism in it, especially since that's about the biggest part of it at the core. I don't understand how blacks allow white folks to determine what racism is and isn't to us. They know what it is but don't care and have convinced themselves that their actions and principles are correct, like they did slavery. They are not beyond this sort of inbred hate and silliness and looking out for their best interests at the expense of everyone else. What really knocks me out is that all these brothers and sisters that support Republican strategies, they pick and choose what sort of nigger they hear from these people they support. It's really interesting. Saw Stephen A. Smith doing this the other night on CNN. Interesting. I actually told you the article, and is this deeper perspective that continues to go mainly untouched that caused the most challenge to us as a people? Yes. If it can happen to the President of the United States, then clearly it's happening to all the rest of us in some kind of way, shape, and form. And white folks just explain it away as a race card, race baiting, stuff like we're stupid. Like if they say today is Sunday long enough to us, we get dressed and just go to church. These feelings are deep ones and still surround us even in more civil society. Republicans don't give a damn about what we think, not even a little bit, and they have let you know that every day they diss Obama right in front of our faces. It's like someone smacking your wife on her ass right in front of you, and you don't do nothing but shamelessly try to ignore
it. That's exactly what it's like.
And endure it because there's not much else you can do about it but be mad. The journey continues. And it's just amazing that you brought that point up, Rooney, and as you know, it was Marion Boykin, who was one of the guys who befriended you, and you know, Boykin.
He was the great Marion Boykin,
and
indeed,
still is.
Doc.
And Harold, the point you made is the one the pastor talked about in the church on Palm Sunday. He said, you know, when you cut the head of a snake off, okay, the snake doesn't realize it's dead yet, okay?
Right.
And the body, and he talked about a snake that crawled into a house, and they went and got a guy, one of the farmers, and he cut the head off. But when he cut the head off, the snake had to die for a while. And in dying, the body did a lot of destruction in the house. You know what? I can't, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're listening, whether it be England, New Jersey, Chicago, Brazil, Germany, you can't.
The whole sports in-depth nation.
Thank you, Rooney. You can't top this. I mean, y'all went from the Celtics losing. Y'all went from Pacquiao and Shane Mosley. Y'all went from listening to whatever Dusty had to say, to the fact that we were able to jump, and Dusty, and before we got to do the half hour sports stuff with the lights on, lights off. But Dusty, you, real quickly, your thoughts as we close on this segment. We're gonna go to Mike on lights off. Your thoughts, Dusty? Dusty, did he really hang up?
Dusty has nothing to say.
No.
Dusty,
I heard him. That's where you at.
Oh no! He really has nothing to say.
Having technical difficulty
lately. I hope he.
I hope it's not anything you said, Doc.
Well, you know, hey, you know what? I never liked him anyway.
You say he's suspended again?
Yeah, you ready to say that? I don't know what happened to Dusty. I don't know where the heck.
You know, he kept saying it was the recording, Doc. That's what happened when we said, "Is it live or is it Memorex?"
Well, you know what? Maybe he isn't recording this time.
Oh no!
Well, he'll get back with us. We're going to do the extra part that we were talking about. C-Wing!
Yeah, you know
but
when we talk about the race thing, I was talking to, I'm not going to mention no name, I was talking to a person in one of the, belongs to one of the networks and everything, media networks, okay? And I was trying to make a deal on something. And I mentioned to him, because I was giving him all my details and everything, how I wanted to do something with him and all that other stuff. And he came back with a negative thing, a situation. And know what I said to him, Doc? I said, you know what? With all the things I've been through and all the stuff I have learned in my life, can you imagine if I was a white boy where I would be today with you guys? He got completely quiet. I said, just imagine. My knowledge, all the things I have accomplished, everything that I have done, and still standing with the boxing world behind me and everything else. where I'll be today. Just
hold that thought, Harold. Hold that thought, gang. Talk Stanley Sports Network, the Blake Radio, Rainbow Souls Sports Network, the show. Closing. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for our president. Bless our president. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. Let your will be done first and foremost. And thank you for the victory. And your darling son that died on the cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life. Big C, Larry Hardesty, say goodnight.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Hey, Big C, be on the lookout. Did you let Dusty back in?
I'm in.
Okay, good. Okay, you know, I was really hoping you didn't get back in. Okay, gang.
Well, good night. ladies and gentlemen, I want to bid everyone a good night. I have a long day tomorrow.
Hold on, Big C, hold on. So stay with us. We want you to open up the second half with us. We're going to open up real second half, then you can say goodbye after that. Big C, let Larry bring us on one more time.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And Big C, John Coltrane, one more time, if it may be possible. Dear Lord, thank you. Sports in Depth. Mic on, lights off. But never let you be off of our track. Never let you be off of our mind. Never you be off of every aspect of our life. We thank you. And once again, all praise and honor to you. Bless our president. Thank you for the moment of victory. And thank you for the victory of Christ on the cross. Thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. And thank you for being our God and giving us our Savior Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Big C, we're going to bring in Sea Wings. We'll give you a couple of minutes before you leave, and after that we can do that great line that Frankie Crocker used to have. Sea Wings, you can go down if you want to. You're through. Sea Wings, some more thoughts, and then we're going to let you fly. One more time, victory, the significance of this, and would it really, as Harold said, does it really change anything? Will it be looked at? Will it be appreciated? As Little Coco said, the distractors. You know, when you said that, Rooney, I thought about what Matt Lee and Rigetti told me about New York, is that no matter what you do, it's not enough. You're hitting 407, but you're hitting 302 with men in scoring position. You won 10 games in a row, but your ERA is 4.5. You got 10 home runs, but 7 with no men on base. And it seems that our president, C. Wings, in that position, no matter what he does, and they're trying to say that it's not a black and white thing, but no matter what he does, great line, you know, why didn't he get him back in August? Real quick, before you go, C. Wings, will this change anything? Will this enhance? Will this be advantageous in his next run for the president?
At this point, I believe yes.
Hmm.
Yes, I think
yes.
For the better. It's going to be positive. I mean, he got the most wanted terrorist in the world. His first 2 years as president in his first term, something that the previous administration couldn't do. Who knows whether they, you know, was to, you know, to their disadvantage that they couldn't find him, or it was just a logistical challenge. But I think it's definitely going to be a positive towards him for a second term.
Yeah. Echoing that.
Hold on, Dusty, hold on.
What?
I got to say this. Sea Wings, you can go down if you want to. You're through.
Okay.
Thanks, Sea Wings.
Oh, that's a blast.
Lady, everyone, have a good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank
good night,
Sea
Wings.
Right.
Okay, Dusty.
But it is the springboard to his next re-election because of the fact that the previous administration, and I remember when Bush got up on the mound in 9/11 at World Trade Center when he came up there with his BS about Bin Laden, we're going to get you. He echoed Joe Lewis' term, you can run, but you can't hide. We're going to get you. And what did they do? They turned around and invaded Iraq and went after Hussein or Hussein, whatever his name is, and that was not what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go after Bin Laden, who admitted that he destroyed the World Trade Center and attacked the Pentagon and attacked the White House and those and that airplane in the Phillies. And in all that time, they did nothing. They parlayed with a $50 million contract on Bin Laden's head to who his own Bin Laden people who knew where they were. And they were saying, well, you know, if we capture them, we don't want the credit. We want to give it to the United States. They themselves did not want to be identified as capturing their own people. So they had the money, but they did nothing, and they knew where Bin Laden was. The words of the president today, if you read it, and all the commentators, was that American troops were the ones, they had been following him, they had intelligence for 3 or 4 months, and they knew exactly where he was hiding, and they got him. And fortunately, the body of Bin Laden is in our hands, so they cannot say it's a make-believe,
right,
or that they can martyr him because he died as a soldier. We got the criminal, just as well as finally they found Hussein buried in some basement, and they pulled him out and put him on trial. So there is no faking now. Yes, somebody mentioned the fact that whoever wants to take over and rebuild. No, I think they broke the back, and I hope and I think they broke the back of the Al-Qaeda's because of the fact that they took the leader. We got the leader ourselves. Now, of course, there's going to be resistance. We're still dealing with a war. We're still dealing with resistance. And we got Gaddafi and all them suckers. But the fact of the matter is that this was, and to answer the question totally, this was a boost to our president who says, hey, the other suckers couldn't do it. The other suckers tried to get bounty hunters, and we got them ourselves. So this is a boost. Who's going to say, no, this guy does not deserve to be second-time president? They're full of it. I mean, who else is going to do that? So,
hey, guys, I'm going to say goodnight.
Good night, Harold. What's going on here? No, I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow to check my legs, so I'm going.
Okay.
I got bad legs.
Okay, you good?
I just want to say before you guys go, I just want to say one quick thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Doc, even though all of this has happened, the tea party types are not going to give this president any credit. You know, he can say, you know, we have Bin Laden, and I'm going to walk on the water because I love my country so much. And next day in the papers, it'll say, Obama can't swim.
Exactly.
Great line. Dusty.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, Lady A, last thought before you go.
Yeah.
I want to say good night. I was trying to finish the rest of the conversation with boxing with Harold and ask him a question before I got off the phone, but you guys just went on this whole entire raving about politics. So,
go ahead. Ask
Al
the last question.
Do I have the floor now, Doc? Is that okay?
You can have the floor now if you want to. It's yours.
Lady A laid a smack down on us over here.
Lady A, it's your floor. No, excuse me for backing my president. It's your floor, Lady A.
Okay. No, I wanted to ask Harold. I know that he lost.
I wanted to ask Harold. This is the Harold Weston show.
But I wanted to ask Harold a question. This is a question I wanted to ask him before you rudely interrupted me. So let me finish the question.
You like these apple boy? You get a little promotion and you forget about the people that came.
Harold, no, because you were talking about your last fight with Tommy Hearns, and you know they stopped the fight between the 6th and 7th round when you fought.
Hold on, lady. You know what? I remember you, Harold, felt for him. You were there, and I you didn't know I was damn near winning. I said, Harold. Oh, you really not going to fight anymore? Remember that, Harold?
Yeah.
You was in, Harold, you really not going to say, yeah, Mel, I can't fight. You know, I just touch me. But Lady A, go ahead. Harold Weston Jr.
No, I was going to ask him after that fight, okay, after, you know, you decided you said you weren't going to fight again or whatever. What were some thoughts right after that fight? I mean, I know that Tommy Hearns, we talked like a couple of weeks ago in depth about how hard he would hit. And like you didn't want to look at Tommy because you just look at him and be like, oh my God, whatever you don't look at him.
No,
right?
I said other people couldn't look at him.
But my question to you is after that happened, What made you decide to change and go right into what you were doing now? What, I mean, was it just the injury, or was it something you always thought about doing, or, you know, getting into the promotional aspect of it?
It was just one of my friends wanted to start promoting, and he asked me to help him out do some promotion out in Long Island, and I did some good shows out there, and that's how it all caught on. I don't want to get into anything, but you know, I was just, you know, promoting was not even on my mind. It was just something that God just brought, you know, brought this thing to me and say, try and do it. And I just caught on. I think when Gil saw me start doing some shows out in Long Island and saw how I was putting on such good fights and everything, he came out to a couple of my shows. And then, you know, all of a sudden I get a phone call from him, and he says, come to my office. And that's how it all began, and that was it. But I hadn't even considered it. I really haven't. It wasn't even nothing that was on my mind about promoting.
Wow, so one door closed and God opened a few more for you,
right?
Then, huh?
Yeah.
That sounds powerful, yeah.
All
right, panel, thank you.
That's amazing that you asked that question, because you always ask great questions, and you always seem to save them for Harold. But on the real side, you know, it's amazing because, you know, he was, and I'm not saying it because you're my man, Harold, but nobody, not only did Harold give great matches, but he made great fighters champions. But I remember a fight, Harold, and there was a guy that I think he was fighting with, and he lost the fight, and Harold was like, okay, man, okay, next fight. But I'll never forget, among the many things, the one you brought down the shoe, but walking into your office, I've told this story 1,000 times, and now Rooney's probably 2007 Big C. I'll never forget walking in your office at the Garden. You were on the phone because his office, I mean, so I walked in, I mean, you probably thought I worked for the boxing department, him and Connie. They were like, hey, there's Mel. And I'll never forget, Lady A, I walked in the office, he's on the phone with somebody. And you know, of course, you know, let's be realistic. We deal in a world of racism, we deal in a world of politics, we deal in a world of favoritism. We deal in the world of envy. Never get long to live. I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? And that was your credo. That was your motto. You look at the guys that he had. I mean, Camacho, who could have been, I think, the second greatest Latin fighter of all time, and he's still a Hall of Fame fighter. Mark Madal. I mean, you were part of that Kid Glove thing, the Breland. And Buddy McGregor, but I'll never forget, Lady A, you know, it's amazing how that you said this never entered your mind. It's like a guy with a jump shot want to be a hockey player. Because
you know what? You know what? What Doc, too, like with him, I mean, you look at his right, you look at, I mean, and, you know, like you said, we're not trying to hype Harold or nothing, but it was a guy, like, here's a guy that he was saying, like, before, you got these fighters, he fought, like, 2-3 times a year. I mean, look at him.
And he fought the best.
Yes, and the best.
I mean,
you got cats not a fight, like he said, once a year, if that, like twice a year.
Leonard and Tommy Hearns wouldn't fight Benitez more than one time. Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns, and they won, and they wouldn't fight Benitez more than once. They fought Hedman.
Hey, Doc, huh? Before Lady A leaves the panel, I just want to remind
you.
I just want to say this. You know, just going in the other direction, and I wonder if Harold will remember this thing where this guy fought during this time. Lady A, Doc Panel, this guy claims to have been knocked out on every continent on the globe. Hey, Harold, do you remember a guy by the name of Bruce the Mouse Strauss?
Oh, yeah, I know him very well. White guy, yeah. He's from the Midwest.
Yeah, hey, Doc, his claim to fame, and he means it sincerely.
Right.
His claim to fame, and he's very proud to say, I have been knocked out on every continent on the globe.
Bruce the Mouse, yeah. They used to use Bruce a lot, boy, when they wanted to get wins out of him. Yeah, Bruce was a trail maker for any kid that was coming up.
I kid you not. Bruce was like, hey, and I didn't waste a whole lot of time getting out of there.
Right.
That's
yeah.
funny, man.
Yeah, Bruce will show up the day of the fight. He say, how tough is he? If he can punch, I'm going in one. If he can't punch, I'm going to take him the distance.
What the hell if he...
He wasn't going to take no punishment. But he had a good defense. That's how come he knew. If you was a big puncher, oh, he ain't going to go but one round. But if you wasn't a puncher, oh, he'll stay there. He'll make you go the whole 10 if you wasn't a puncher. That was Bruce the Mouse.
Hey, Harold, what do you say? If you can punch, you going in one?
He going in one. Bruce ain't going to lay around. Bruce ain't going to take no punishment. He ain't taking no punishment.
Hey, but Harold, he said, but he said if he can't punch, you going to take him the distance?
He's gonna take that, and then Bruce will get to like about his. He'll lose five in a row, and he'll get to like about the six. When you get six in a row, you get your license pulled, right?
Uh-huh.
Bruce will promote his own fight in his hometown and win, and then he'll go back on the road.
That's hilarious.
Wait a minute. And you know what's so slick about it? Bruce wouldn't put himself in a 10-round fight. He'll put himself in a 4-round fight to win his hometown. And then go on the road and fight 10-round fights and lose.
Where was he from, Harold?
He was from the Midwest. Oh, he was a character. I love Bruce.
He really was.
He managed himself. He promoted himself. He did everything in the Midwest. Oh, he was a character.
So, if you lose five fights in a row, you can't fight, huh?
If you lose six fights in a row, you can't fight anymore.
Okay.
Your license be pulled.
Did you ever want to fight Pepino Cuevas again? Because they stopped.
Oh, yeah, we was trying to make that fight again. But unfortunately, he fought Tommy and everything, that did him in. But we was trying to make the rematch before he fought Billy Backus.
Mm-hmm.
But they never wanted to make the return match and everything. So it never came about.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There was nobody I didn't want to fight.
I don't know, because he broke your jaw, right?
No, he didn't break my jaw.
They stopped the fight.
They thought it was.
Because Gil thought they had broke his jaw. And Harold said, there's nothing wrong with my jaw. And Gil was like, no, Harold. Which is, you know, showing the concern. I mean, anybody else would say, well, go back out there. If you say nothing wrong, you know. Because the fight was close.
My jaw was hanging down. My skin was hanging down from my face.
Oh, really?
On one side, yeah. It was so swollen back there that it just was the skin was just hold, you know, came down, hit a nerve, and it just made my face look like it was all, you know, broken and everything.
So what happened?
It was just
a punch that swelled up.
Yeah,
it
was a punch. Yeah. Hit me with a punch and he cut me inside my mouth and it hit a nerve.
A vessel or something.
Yeah, and it just swelled up, and they thought it was broken. And it looked like, if you look at it on TV, you can see it. It was just, I was mad too.
Huh?
I was mad too. I said, no, I'm okay. He said, no. He said, it's broken. You don't know. You don't feel. I said, no, I'm okay. He said, no.
Because the tide in the fight was turning then. In fact,
I was getting ready to knock him out.
But Harold came back and fought another fight right after that, 2 months later, against Jose Palacio.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Well,
wasn't it Harold who gave the incredibly tough Vito Anafermo his first loss?
Yeah, Harold was the first guy to beat, and came off military leave to do it.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I right, Al?
Yeah, I was bored, so I said, let me go home and fight and beat up Vito.
You're bored. The guy's bored taking on, like, the number two contender in the world. Hey, Doc, bored taking on the world-class
Hey, Rooney, everybody else goes down to the gym. Harold goes home to Madison Square Garden.
That's where he fought his first fight against Wilfred Benitez.
Yeah, well, that was my father. My father and Gil thought I was crazy too when I called up and said I wanted to fight Vito Anafermo. They said, you got to be out your mind. The guy's 19-0. He's staying active. And I said, man, make the fight. They said, okay, call us back tomorrow. And I did. And they said, the fight is such and such day. I said, okay, I'll be there.
You know, it's funny. We're talking about Bin Laden. I got an email from my friend, the international promoter, legendary promoter, Desi Cotamacio Jr. And he sent me, yes, Stanley, Barack Obama did it. Bye-bye, Bin Laden. Yes, we can. It's amazing the relationship that the United States has with Brazil. Their show and all of Brazil were just so delighted having Obama come to Brazil. The first president to go to Brazil was FDR. Truman went, Truman went, Eisenhower went, I believe Kennedy might have went, and Bush went. But they really loved Obama. There's some talk about Obama maybe working toward a situation where visas will no longer be necessary to go there and to come here because Brazil is a hard time. And you know what that is because they have the highest populace of people of African American descent outside of Africa. But it's interesting to get this email from my friend from Brazil who is also – and, you know, and this could change the profound of – well, it only – you know, it seems he is more revered and respected outside of the USA than he is, and this kind of validates this somewhat, Rooney, to get an email from somebody from Brazil.
Yeah, your point well taken, Doc. It is. Like I said, here's one, Doc. I have to say this, too. I mean, this goes for the jazz musicians, the fighters. I don't know what the deal is with the U.S. when it comes to a lot of the arts and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But I always heard, like, a lot of the old-time black and Latino musicians, like you said, the Tito Fuentes, what have you, that, you know, they would get, like, more respect. And,
yes,
and you know,
true.
They would go
that's
to, like,
true.
A France or a Brazil or something.
Miles Davis
and they
said,
couldn't walk
Rudy,
down
Rudy,
the streets,
you know,
they'd be
you,
so
you,
wild.
Once again, that line drive, this time you went yard. Miles Davis said the thing about, he said, you're walking down the street in France or Germany or Italy or Sweden or Brazil, and a 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid knows who you are. There's Miles
yeah.
Davis.
Yeah.
There's Ben Webster. You know what I mean? There's Grover Washington Jr. And Kareem talked so much about how the music here wasn't taken because it was seen as black music. But the point that you make, once again, a point well taken, young man, is that Miles said that. The appreciation. I talked to some guys. When we did that show tonight, remember the two guys from Italy talked about their impact of jazz and all their idols were black artists? You know what I mean?
All
it,
of them,
you
yeah.
Know? Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. Tremendous point. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth. Sports and Depth with the mic on, lights off, the final 10 minutes of our Sunday night segment. Sunday night is where
I'm
gonna you
say good night, Doc.
You going now?
Good night.
You don't have another boxing question for Harold?
No, I don't have any other questions for Harold. I'll ask any other questions next week.
Oh, okay.
Take care, Lady A.
Thank
all right,
you,
good
Lady
night,
A.
Y'all.
Be good, Lady A.
Next week, I will. Take care. Good night.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Well, you know, we've got the
okay,
last
bye-bye.
10 here. Rooney, you know, you've always got a zillion questions. I know you got another two, at least for Harold. Big C, what you thinking up there? What's coming? What's going through
no.
That brilliant mind of yours at the Space Center?
I'm just hoping that the Mets actually win one game.
They're still playing?
Against the Phillies. The Phillies are still playing the bottom of the, hold on, let me check, 13th, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And still 1-1?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still 1-1. Top of the 13th.
Bottom of 13th. Basketball game today, I don't know if you saw it, Hal, but Lou Coco must have, you know, the flagrant fouls called against Pierce. And like I said, Doc Rivers, good buddy. I'll never forget when he pitched your autograph to me. You were funny yesterday. You were talking about, Doc, you must have that at home in the memory. But now he sent autographs from one doctor to another. But and he said that the two fouls called against Pierce could have went the other way. He saw them as flagrant fouls. And that
well, I didn't see them. I didn't see the plays, Doc. But I will say this, if I can, about Doc Rivers. You know, I've thanks to you and Marion, you know, I've had a chance to speak to Doc on a few occasions one-on-one and discuss, you know, basketball, especially when he was a member of the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Doc, the man has a pure basketball mind. I mean, he is a strategist. He's extremely cerebral. And I got to tell you, I believe his contract is up this year. It
well,
seems to be
there's
pretty
rumors, there's rumors that have you smiling that he, you know, he could be the coach here in New York. Real quick, Rick, I want to say something real quick, Al, and I thought about you, Harold, when I was talking to Ray Lewis's mother, and that segment, Big C, we're going to put in archives and put on it. We've got to find some half-hour discs and get that. So I can get that. I mean, I love the fact that we had to interview him. And, you know, there's a staggering thought. I thought about you, Harold, especially when you talked about the boxing. When I mentioned the boxing aspect, 74% of NFL players after 2 years of retirement are broke. 74%.
Right.
60% of NBA players after 4 years, a broke.
Yeah, right.
A broke. You know, now, what Reggie Howard said was that, and what Ray Lewis talked about, was getting rid of agents. He said, you know, now, it was one guy, he said, I had two agents. One was aggressive, I meant to talk to him, too, and one was passive. He said, the aggressive guy got me a lot of money, but the passive guy was looking out for me for long term. You know what I mean? And what Ray said, you know, you're 17, 18 years old, man. You have no concept of marketing. He said, these guys get 3% of you for life. He said, now, another, the females, he said, you know, because one guy got him, said, well, you know, this should be something implemented in the educational system that would make us more aware. And somebody said, whoa, face. First of all, you know, why are they going to put this in the education in the third, fourth, fifth grade? I mean, you know, come on. It's not beneficial to them. And she said, you know, as athletes, why is there a misconception that because we're athletes that we're more cerebral or more aware than any other 17, 18, 19-year-old? But the big thing was what Reggie said, too, is that what this thing will not only bring you awareness and how to do your thing, he said, but, you know, Like, I've got to tell Harold about the guy that screwed me so he don't take the same guy that screwed him, and Harold's got to tell Rooney about the guy that screwed him. You know, we've got to get together and say, hey, you know what? You got to stay away from these guys. These guys don't have your best interests at heart. They may get you the big contract, but, they, you know, in the long term, you're going to be screwed. And he was saying, you know, with him and Ray taking this initiative, there are some you know, the forces are coming at him. But what it comes down to, and you know, Howard, you're one of the few guys that did it, because the move you talked about, you paid everything up front, then everybody got their cut, as opposed to you paying everybody up front and then you being left with the residue.
Right. Well, the thing is that, you know, I learned and watched everybody else. I watched Griffin. I watched all the other fighters, how they were, you know, spending their money when they had a fight,
mm-hmm.
and then I looked at them, and you know, a week later, a month later, and then, you know, they broke again. And my point of looking at all that is just understanding how this money goes out and where does it go. Now, knowing that Uncle Sam is there on the surface made me realize that I had to see how the structure of paying him on top of the money that I'm paying everybody else, and how do I come out on the better end of it? And in the long run, you don't come out good, because when you look at the dynamics of numbers that comes out of this, okay, 5% here, 10% here, 3% here. You know, you got people on the payroll that just hanging around you. You know, these things add up, and you're the top. You're everything, and so. When you get all that done, because you're paying everybody off first, then here come Uncle Sam, and he wants 35% or 40% of this money. Now you say, Jesus Christ. Then you realize you don't have none. And that's what makes a lot of athletes and entertainers don't want to pay Uncle Sam. See, Uncle Sam should be paid first, but nobody wants to do that. Uncle Sam said, no, pay everybody off, and then after you pay off all your expenses, then you pay me. Now, that's what should come into your mind, said, I don't need no entourage. You know what I mean? Because if you got an entourage, then you got to pay everybody that's there. Okay? And that's where to eliminate money. So it's not always the manager or the agents or anything like that. It's the person that's having the entourage of people with them.
Well,
how did
Ali get away with the entourage? I mean, he just had so much money. He was making so much money.
No, he didn't get away. Ali got broke too, because of the fact that he did have entourage, and that was his whole thing. He came with the entourage. You got to understand, the entourage thing is the only person that really had entourage was Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yeah, you know what? How you know, I was, because that's where the word came from.
That's where it came from.
Right,
Sugar Ray
right.
Robinson.
Oh, that's right.
And Ali got that, and Ali picked it up from Sugar Ray Robinson.
If you look at
all the champions that was sitting around at the time, that was right. Nobody had entourage. No, the other person that had entourage was Jack Johnson.
Okay.
Jack Johnson had entourage. Okay. But the thing is, nobody really had entourage with them, because, you know, you try to keep it level, because the managers didn't want nobody to cut into their money that they were already getting their 33% and 30% or everything like that.
Okay,
so you had
okay,
the trainer.
Okay.
That,
yeah, well, you know, so let me ask you this, Harold, if I may. You know, I there was a pretty well known boxer who remained nameless some years ago, was complaining to me about you know, a certain promoter who also remained nameless. Oh, you know, owing him a lot of money and basically beating him out of this, that, and the other. So, you know, I didn't mention the guy's name, but I just mentioned, you know, about, you know, the expenses of fighters and whatnot. The guy said, hey, man, let me tell you this right now. He said, you know, these guys always borrow against their purse. You know, guys have, and you just mentioned this, that's why I'm bringing it up, Harold, always have these big entourages, want first-class hotel suites, want first-class tickets to the fight, want to fly first class. He said, who's supposed to pay for that, man? Me? Am I supposed to pay for it?
Yeah, and that's what the fighters don't understand. They just get, you know, because that's where I learned how to say, I don't, you know, Gil, you ain't got to give me no more money. Because I always used to tell, when I used to always hear the other guy say, Gil, let me borrow $10, let me borrow $5, let me borrow $25. You know, and Gil said, okay, Gil said, well, who's going to pay? He said, take it off the top. I didn't know what the top was at the time until I started saying, Gil, give me $100, give me $200. And then when the fight time came and he took it off, he said, hey, man, give me that $1,000, Harold, that you owe me from bar. I said, oh, I got to pay that back? He said, yeah. He said, that's the top. I said, oh. Oh, that's how that go. Okay.
Don't worry about it. I don't want no more cops.
Yeah,
you know, so you've been on both sides of that.
Hey, Harold, after that, the top stopped.
Oh, the top stopped, bro.
He didn't worry
about me. That's when I took over. I said, from now on, I'll get all the money, I'll pay everybody off, and I'll pay the top. Because you understand, every time you paid out money, you know what I'm like the hand wraps or tape or whatever, you know, Gil put that little $2 down, everything else, and that came off the top because you're preparing for a fight. So when I realized what the top was, I said, oh, okay, let me go on and pay the top.
Wow.
It's me anyway.
Did you hear that Carlos when he fought the Panamanian Sugar Limon, he borrowed from Lippy Breitbart all of his money because he was at the gambling tables. He lost his title and he didn't collect a dime because he had spent all his money.
Wow.
Right. Spent all his money. He didn't get
And we have spent all our time in Sports and Death with the mic on, lights off, as always, a incomparable time with some very incomparable intellectual and beyond reproach individuals. Harold Weston Jr., Mel Smith Jr., Little Coco, Lady A, C-Wings, Milo, and of course, Destino Baby Lewis, and on the controls, and always in control, the man who makes it flow, Big C. We are going to say goodnight, but we're going to close with a prayer like always with Mr. John Coltrane, and Larry Hardesty will say goodbye. We'll be back during the week and next Sunday. Again, we will, Mother's Day, we will have a mother of a show for you. Dear Lord, we're simply a grateful, a thank you for everything, for all good and wonderful things come from you. And with that, Larry Hardesty is going to close us out, and then the Steno Babies will tell everybody goodnight. Larry Hardesty, greatest African-American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, which makes the best ever radio. Larry, say goodnight.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
It has been a historic night. It has been a night of another feather in the cap of the first African-American president in the history of the United States. It has been a night where a promise was kept and the debt was paid. And it's also been another night of radio at its finest level, right here on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Sports in Depth. We'll keep you in our prayers. Leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is a rich prepare for your space. The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. Doc Stanley simply saying, God bless you all. Trust in God. Destino, tell everybody good night and say it in English this time.
Good night, everybody, and or good morning. It's midnight, but we have a great day today, great leadership from our president. And, brothers, we'll see each other next Sunday where we'll discuss Shane Mosley's unanimous decision upset of Manny Pacquiao.
Hey, Dusty, you've been drinking again?
Good night.
Taking cold medicine.
Gentlemen.
Good night, fellas.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.